It's time for TWiT This Week at Tech. Christina Warren's here with Dieter Bohn from The Verge, Steve Kovac from Business Insider. We will dissect the big week's announcements, both from Apple and Google, take a look at some changes at Facebook, an apology from you two, and more. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 480, recorded October 19th, 2014. Android. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/twit and using the promo code TWIT. And by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like baked cheddar potato sticks. To get your free NatureBox sampler box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. And by audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT. It's time for This Week in Tech, a great show this week because we have a great panel. Saying hello to Christina Warren, joining us once again because we love her so much, from her apartment in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, yes, sir.
Beautiful downtown Brooklyn. Is there a downtown Brooklyn? There isn't a downtown.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
there is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surrounded by New Yorkers. Steve Kovac is also here from Business Insider. You've been living in San Francisco for the last few months.
Yep, going back next week, though.
Can't wait, I could tell.
Yeah.
He's got a twinkle in his eye.
I'm going to parachute out the plane.
So excited to be back. Also from The Verge, Dieter Bohn is here. Great to have you back, Dieter.
Hello,
you live in San Francisco.
No. I live in New York.
What are you doing here?
It's here for Apple.
You're visiting?
Yeah.
Visiting. For the Apple event.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with that.
Yeah.
Because that seemed like a very lame event to me. Were you in the audience?
Yes, I was. And
about half hour in, are you going, aren't you going to, you have nothing new to say?
Yeah. I mean, they always do the, we're going to give you the rundown of what we already announced earlier this year, but they just kept on doing it.
Yeah. It's the bulk of the announcement, I feel like, was just old stuff.
Oh, yeah. And there's a Mac Mini with Retina. I mean, they were throwing away products, but they spent a long time rehashing iOS 8.
Yeah. And Yosemite.
Why?
Because they only had 3 products?
That's why. Maybe. I think they should have waited to do the Apple Watch in the October event instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the iPads, you know, minor upgrade, whatever, looks a little different. But if they had waited the Apple Watch on that day, that would have been huge, and it would have been a much more exciting event.
And they completely could have managed expectations. They could have leaked that it's not going to be in September, so nobody would have been super disappointed.
Right.
We would have been perfectly happy and had plenty to talk about with the 2 iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, they could have, you know, jammed out the iPads real quick, you know, and just not
Isn't
even mention
part of the problem also that there's not, even with the new iPad, and really only one of the iPads is particularly new, the Mini is just that they added a Touch ID and nothing else has changed, right?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you can get it in gold.
You can get it in gold. So they had a new iPad, a minor revision to the Mini, and they had the new Mac. And then they said, and now we can tell you that Yosemite will be out on today, and that Apple Pay will be out on Monday, and iOS 8.1 Apple. That was it. I mean, I just did in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You just did it.
Pretty much the whole thing. Okay, that's not to be faulted. I mean, they got a lot of attention. They got people like Dieter flying out from the coast. They got a million people watching the stream. I don't know how many watching the stream. We gave them a lot of coverage. And so that's good marketing. They know what they're doing in terms of marketing. But I do feel like maybe they're running out of steam in terms of product.
Well, I think that they're doing just fine on the iPad Air. I think that they
don't need to update it.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, these are minor updates. They put a better camera in, which they should have had in years ago.
Well, I think the screen is actually significantly better.
The screen is better on the iPad?
It's got anti-glare. Yeah, you can tell.
They did add anti-glare. So you both saw it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing a lot of people wanted. I didn't even realize this, but our iPad Today show, that was one of the number one requests is, can we get a less glary screen? They say 50% less glary. What are they doing?
They did two things. They it's fully laminated, so there's no air gap between the glass and the display, and that helps with reflection a little bit. And they put an anti-glare coating finish,
something like that.
Something.
Yeah.
But I haven't, you know, in the hands-on room, it's very nice diffuse lighting, so you don't really know how it is yet.
Right. So you both
and apparently
and Touch ID was a big deal too. Putting that on the iPad finally. Finally, I mean, that's if you've used it on your iPhone for this long and you don't have an iPad already, it's a very convenient thing to have.
Just as Tim Cook said, you know, I keep touching the button on the iPad
to
unlock it.
I do it every day.
Yeah,
no, I was excited about that. And apparently, you know, it seems like, you know, they have better graphics, better chip as they do every time. So, you know, maybe some games will be better.
What's the number one feature they began with? We made it thinner.
Right.
Exactly. No one is asking for a thinner iPad, or am I wrong?
No, that's right. I think everyone was asking for Touch ID, and that was about it.
And maybe more battery life or whatever, but why thinner?
Because they're obsessed with anorexic iPads. They're obsessed with making everything like as anorexic as possible.
They can't
like, they
get thinner. They can't get any thinner. I mean, come on, just stop.
No. No, I mean, honestly, I didn't think they needed to go thinner from the iPad Air. I thought the iPad Air was perfect.
It's fine.
I was actually a little like shocked with that.
The one thing no one's ever said, oh, man, I wish this iPad Air were thinner. Lighter, maybe, but not thinner.
Or gold.
Oh, no, I said that. I like it.
I kind of wanted a gold one.
I kind of like
that. I like the Kardashian iPad.
opulence.
The Kardashian phone, you want the matching set.
Yeah. It matches everything else of your phones.
Perfect.
Actually, I think maybe, okay, so the two big, to me, not a huge iPhone user or iPad user, to me, the two big stories are Apple Pay launches tomorrow, and this new SIM card in the iPad is very intriguing.
Yeah.
So let's do them one at a time. Let's start with Apple Pay. Tomorrow, what does that mean it launches tomorrow? Am I going to go into my favorite store and all of a sudden there'll be a big Apple terminal?
No, they'll just be the standard point-of-sale terminals they had before with the little
But I can
NFC
now tap symbol. My iPhone
you can
on
tap your
it.
iPhone on it to pay.
Or, now, presumably, if you're going to put the effort in to do that, I could also tap my Moto X on it, right, or any other NFC phone on it.
If you've got a wallet set up on your Android phone, which is, you know, chances are you don't if you're, most people
exactly.
don't.
Well, I have Google Wallet on here. And in fact, Android says has a tap and go.
So you can go anywhere with an NFC pad and it'll work?
I would presume if you're going to upgrade to put Apple Pay into your store.
No, I mean on Google Wallet. Like you right now, you've had
no
problem with
it. Tap and pay.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't tried it. It says
it works. Well, it depends. So you can do it with MasterCard. It works pretty well. Visa is kind of iffy. Depends on what brand phone you have and depending on what carrier you're on. This is why Apple Pay is, I think, such a big deal is that it's, you know, with Android, they've had it for a long time and other companies have too, but you've had to depend on like, okay, so who makes my phone?
Right.
Number one.
Well, that's because the sucky characters
want.
They wanted you to use ISIS,
right?
The sucky characters, carriers.
Soft card or whatever they call it now. Right. But that's the thing, right? Like Apple you don't have any of that stuff. So you could use it at MasterCard terminals. But then the big thing too is a lot of banks weren't on board. So Apple Pay is going to come on board. Like literally I've looked, like all of my cards will work with all my banks. My Barclays will work. My MasterCard will work. My Visa will work. My debit card will work.
Did you
my American Express will work.
Did you take a picture of them to enter the data in as Apple said you could do?
I haven't been able to do it yet because
it
I don't have Apple Pay yet.
You have to wait for
tomorrow.
Okay.
Exactly. But I've already checked to see the compatibility and it'll be there. So yeah, I mean, you know, whereas with Android, I'm like, well, I can use it with my Capital One card. It's like the only one I can use with on Android.
Well, you could use any credit card to charge up my Google Wallet. It is the selected payment platform now in my Tap and Pay. So I'm wondering if I go, I presume no merchant's going to say, oh, I'm sorry. You better get out of here, Leo. You don't have an iPhone. I presume that they are going to let me.
No, most of them will work. I mean, I know that MasterCard, I talked to them on Thursday, I guess, and they were saying that all of the MasterCard places, obviously, you know, all the swipe and pays work with Apple Pay and they'll work with Android too. But there's some merchants who, for instance, didn't bother to upgrade to NFC until Apple Pay. So like Staples being one of them. So Staples where before Monday, like you wouldn't, even if you had Android, you couldn't use it. Now you'll be able to. So I mean, that's kind of why it's good for everybody.
That's the thing I noted. I mean, I can use it. I've been able to use it at Starbucks, some gas stations, you know, McDonald's. A few places have had tap and pay. But you're right. Apple has that's the critical mass. I don't know if you could say Apple, until Apple did it, nobody wanted to do it. It was just critical mass. It put it over the top.
It's critical mass, but the other thing is, if you went to go use Tap and Pay before, you had some Android phone, it didn't work, you'd be like, oh, well, life sucks. Everything's really complicated. The world is terrible, and I am living a fragmented Android world. It's my fault. It's not the store's fault. But now if someone goes to use Apple Pay and it doesn't work, they'll get mad at the bank, they'll get mad at the store, and it'll drive more adoption.
And also, the laws are driving the adoption, the move away from signature, swipe and signature cards to chip and pin.
Well, we're not getting chip and pin in the U.S.
But that's starting to happen, and by next year...
It's chip and signature in
the U.S. Chip and signature, but there's at least a move to... And you're going to have to upgrade it. If you're getting a chip, you have to upgrade your payment terminal anyway.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. All the point-of-sale systems now, like, come with it. When you upgrade, it comes with an NFC by default. Whether it's enabled or not is up to, you know, the merchant. But anytime you upgrade your point-of-sale system, it's going to have an NFC in it. So that is going to make, I think, adoption for everybody bigger. But, I mean, also with Apple, you know, you're talking about the fact that they've sold, what, like, we think, what, 30 million, you know, iPhones 6 and 6 Pluses in the last month. That's, you know, if you say that even 40% of those are in the U.S., which is probably a low estimate since it just launched in China, that's a huge number of devices that are going to work with these things that, that, quite frankly, are probably more than anybody who's ever bothered to act. I mean, by probably a factor of at least 10.
Let me point out, Apple market share for iPhones in the U.S. is still 41%. It's not even half.
Right.
So it's not like all of a sudden.
Yeah, but I mean, hang on. Like, for the
previous who goes to Walgreens has an iPhone?
Like, compare it to, like, what percentage of consumers have Google Wallet actually set up?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
But am I going to...
They're going to have more people than ever have had Google Wallet.
I think people are getting the impression that starting tomorrow, everywhere I go, I'll be able to tap and pay. Is that the case?
No, it's only with those NFC terminals. And then there are also these big retailers who are resistant to it. Best Buy is resistant to these this Apple Pay thing because they get a cut. Apple gets a cut.
Right.
So you can see them like dialing back when they upgrade their POS.
Apple gets a cut in addition to the credit card company's cut.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the bank's cut.
It's teeny tiny, but they're getting something.
It's 1% for them and 2% for them and 3% for them.
That sucks if you're a merchant. Everyone's dipping in.
I actually don't think that with the merchants, it's about the cut. They weren't getting cuts on those in the first place. What it is for them is it's the data. Is if you use Apple Pay, you can't track it as easily because it's a unique PIN and you won't know.
And Apple can't track it either, by the way.
Right, Apple can't track it either. And so Best Buy would much rather you pay with something that they can, like, profile you with.
Precisely. Right. And Google was much more willing to let them track stuff. I mean, Google basically, like, came out of their way and we're like, oh, yeah, you can track everything.
Yeah, we'll give you. What do you want to know? Anything you want to know. Whatever
and that's
you
not
know.
Very comforting as a user of that, you know? No, it's not.
But
it's been the state of condition with credit cards as well. So this is something new. It's not like this is something we had a choice at any point up to now.
Sure.
If you trust Apple, and you have to admit that there are people who say, well, Apple, you mean the company that let all those new photos escape? But if you trust Apple, then it is I think that's a good positioning. Look, we aren't going to give the merchant any information.
Right.
The bank has the information, by the way.
Yep.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And I mean, and the merchant can still try to track things that they have, things like loyalty cards and other stuff, which you can do with Passbook and other things. So, I mean, there's still ways for merchants to track stuff. It's just not going to be as easy as it would be maybe with their typical methods. But, I mean, I think, you know, Best Buy Dieter's right. You know, they're resisting this, but I would put money on the fact that within 6 months, Best Buy will change their tune on this just because they're probably going to get so much feedback from consumers who are going to want to do this.
That to me is the interesting question. Is there going to be a drumbeat? You've got to support Apple Pay, or is this just us saying we'd like it to be there? Is the normal consumer going to say, hey, I got an iPhone, why can't I pay with it? I think we're so used to hauling out the credit card that it's...
Well, it's not going to be everywhere either. It's only those terminals with the NFC on them. And, you know, they said 220,000 retailers or something like that are going to have it, but most won't. Places you go, you're still going to use
credit. Until I can leave my wallet at home...
You can't.
But we're getting closer. You still can't, but you're getting closer. I mean, you know, I can go to Whole Foods, I can go to Target, I can go to the Apple Store, I can go. Like, it was funny. I was looking down the list of places that accept it, and I was like, you know, actually, there are a lot of places that I go to that are.
Christina can leave her wallet at home.
No, I still probably can't. But I mean, it gets closer, and I'm waiting for that day because I have actually left my wallet at home before, and I've realized this, and I've been like kind of in a bind, and you've got to like find the Uber or whatever to like get back because you don't have a credit card on you. This has happened to me more than once. And then, you know, but if you have the Apple Pay, like, hey, that's cool.
I've set up Google Wallet on here, and I have Tap and Pay, and any modern Android phone will. I should be able to walk into those same stores, right, and tap. And
yeah,
I won't obviously have the fingerprint reader unless I have a Samsung. I'll be entering a PIN.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll pay. So that's not so bad. I mean,
Is that really easier than swiping a credit card?
I like the Apple video where the woman has to dig through the Tic Tacs and everything in her purse to get her credit card.
It's so hard to get a credit card out.
She magically has a phone just ready to go.
Well, I mean, let's face it. If you're waiting in line at a store, you've got your phone on anyway, right? You're already checking Twitter. So it's just like,
I take Twitter off my phone. I have a very strong opinion about that. Okay. We should talk another time. I think Twitter is the single number one reason that we have such a hostile environment, especially for women in the digital world these days, because Twitter just facilitates this and has no desire to stop it.
No, they really don't. My friend Brianna was,
she's your friend.
She's my friend. Yeah.
Terrible situation. Brianna Wu, right?
Yeah, Brianna Wu. Yeah, Space Cat Gal. She's fantastic, and that was awful. When I saw that, I was in Montreal when it was happening, and then when I came back and I saw it, I was just like, are you kidding me, of all people? But I loved the article she wrote for EXO. That was so good, and it was so right too. My husband, who didn't realize that we were friends, and he read it, and I was like, yeah, that's my girl, Brie. She's a badass. And I was so glad she wrote that article because she's right. She's completely the wrong person. Like, they picked the wrong person with her to kind of go up against because
they don't care.
I know they don't care, but
that's one guy.
Right. But she's somebody who won't back down, which is what's, you know, I mean, it's terrible what's happened, but she won't back down. And
so let me ask you, just to keep people up to date, she received death threats on Twitter. Tweeted, I'm out of here. She and her family left the home. Are they back in their home?
I'm not sure.
Has Twitter done anything to that guy?
I mean, he was banned or whatever, but I mean,
he had a new account name within three seconds.
Yeah. I'm not sure what they're doing with that. I mean, that's the thing. You know, people say, oh, well, it's just some guy on the internet. It's like somebody puts your address in there and starts making really
specific threats, which is a particular problem.
And they're saying it makes really specific threats. It's like, yeah, you've got to call the police, you know?
Law enforcement will get involved if there is that kind of credible threat to your life.
Well, and that was the thing, you know, and so, yeah, you know, but Twitter's role in this, I mean, you're right. You know, Twitter really doesn't, they kind of don't want to get involved. Zelda Williams, we saw the same thing, you know, like
it's worse than that. Twitter, because they're publicly held company, to prop up the stock price needs to grow 25% a month. They don't care where that growth comes from. They will not stop this as long as they are propping up the stock price. And you're never going to see the end of this. So I have personally withdrawn from Twitter. I'm not going to kill my account. I did that once before somebody took it. So I'm not. I will keep my account, but I'm not going to participate in this. And I think others should stop because Twitter is highly irresponsible in this matter.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Twitter needs to be doing more. I don't know that they're not doing it because they think that they're getting user growth out of trolls. I think that they just, frankly, haven't built the tools to deal with it.
When you block somebody, you block their IP address. You keep them from creating.
There are ways around that,
too. There are ways around that. I've got plenty of trolls on the verge.
No, but it's not as easy. They have not done anything at all to keep somebody from just saying, no problem. Thanks for I got a new account now, and I'll use that. They have not done the most basic thing you can
tried their workflow for reporting abuse?
Well, that's true.
It's super long, and it puts way too much burden on gathering information. I'm telling you, they do not
want to address this because it would kill their stock price. This is something they want to sweep under the rug, and they're not going to be able to. And anybody who is in the public eye or anybody who wants to do something about this should just remove themselves from Twitter, and I have.
Well, I think...
But I didn't want to bring that up. That's another story entirely.
But
it gets me angry because I don't feel they have done anything, and they aren't going to do anything until enough people say, well, screw you, Twitter. They are the single most... It's like YouTube comments in public, you know? They're the single most cesspool... public cesspool, and everybody's saying, oh, hashtag me. No, not anymore. All right, we're going to talk more about Apple. We said Apple Pay was the big thing on Monday, but that's not all. Yosemite's out. And then I said something else. Oh, the Sim.
Yeah.
The Sim. That's something we should be talking about. But first, let's talk about my mattress. This is why I get in trouble on Twitter. I have a Casper mattress. You know, Casper's kind of a cool idea. They said, as you've seen this a lot now on the internet, with these companies that are disintermediating the old school monopolistic overpriced super high markup businesses like eyewear, shaving, and now mattresses. But you might say, well, I'm not going to buy a mattress online because I want to lie on it. Well, the question is, if you go to a showroom, and I've done this, and you lie on a mattress for 5 minutes, do you now know enough to buy that mattress? I could tell you how many mattresses I've bought that have been uncomfortable in the long run. Here's the beauty. With Casper, the mattress comes to your door. You have 100 days. You can sleep on it for 100 nights and return it and get your money back. They will even send somebody to pick it up. Painless returns. This is so much better than lying down in a showroom. And Casper's mattresses are fabulous. Visit Casper, CASPER.com/twit. I'll tell you how you can save some money. But let me explain a little bit what they're doing. These are latex mattresses with memory foam on the top. So you get both firm but comfortable, long-lasting comfort and support. I don't know what they're doing. There's no outgassing. They smell fabulous when they come out. In fact, do you have the video, Chad? Get the video up because I have my Casper mattress. First of all, I don't know how they got a queen-size mattress in that little bitty box. But it comes to your door in a box delivered. You open the box, the mattress goes, and then suddenly it's there. It is super comfortable. Just the right bounce, just the right sink. This is Terry and the Casper team sent me a little book as well with my Casper mattress for reading. So here it is in the box. I'm all ready. I got my jammies on. Because, well, hey, when you get, you know, you got to, you know. And so once you open the box up, and they give you, by the way, they give you a thing to open up and take off. That there's a Tyvek sleeve that take you. You have like a little letter opener that goes right through it, and it just opens up for you. This is the way to try out a mattress. Get it for 100 days. Get a feeling of what it's like. I love it. Watch.
Now, why'd you do this in your living room and not your bedroom?
Well, there's a long story. Because there wasn't enough room to shoot it.
Gotcha.
So we wanted to shoot me. But actually, it's really comfortable. We actually left it there for a few days because it was.
When guests come in, just lay down.
Have a seat, relax, enjoy. Free delivery, painless returns within 100 days. You are going to love these. They're made in the USA. They sleep cool. They sleep very comfortable. Even Ozzy loves my Casper mattress. And very affordable. They're eliminating, you know, the markup because of the showroom and all that. $500 for a twin, $950 king size. That's a lot less than I've paid for mattresses I have not liked nearly as much. And you will save an additional $50 by going to Casper.com/twit and using twit as the offer code. I know, maybe there's a little reluctance. See, they have this. Go visit the website and you can see how they made it and designed it. And it's just really cool. It really works. And trust me, it is very comfortable. Casper.com/twit. So when you buy a new iPad Air, what do they call it? Air 2?
Air 2.
Air 2. Same as the iPad. I think it also works on the iPad Mini 3.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I bought it, and normally you would say Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. You'd say, what carrier? It just says, you want LTE in there? Yeah. So it's going to come whenever it comes, next couple of days, with a SIM card. It's my understanding that SIM card will work with any carrier.
Well, what about Verizon?
I don't think Verizon's on board.
Oh, of course not. Verizon. Yeah. That's the last.
Are you on Verizon?
But that's up to Verizon. No, well, but that's the point is you don't have to be on anything.
Right.
You can say, this month I'll be AT&T. You buy whatever it costs, $20 or $30. Next month, you can be T-Mobile if you want. You just choose what you want. They've done a deal with EE in England. Yep. And so if you're in the UK, you could do it. And I hope that this spreads. This is a very... Could they do this with phones?
I hope so.
They could.
Oh, I hope so.
This is very interesting. And only Apple has the market clout to do this kind of thing. Well, anybody else does this, they're going to laugh at them.
Well, Apple has a history of doing this kind of thing. Apple's like, screw it, we're moving to the micro SIM. Screw it, we're moving to the nano SIM. And everybody else is like, wait, we're going to do something. And they're like, nope, we're just doing it. And they get what they want. And it's the same thing with this. And, you know, it's on the road to there just not being a SIM card at all. And it's just, you know, hardwired into the phone, which... should terrify me because I like the idea of the consumer being able to switch SIMs around and having more power than the carrier.
But if it's programmable within iOS.
But if it's definitely programmable and you still can choose your own carrier, it's actually better for the end user than the current situation.
I guess they put a SIM slot in, so if you wanted to be Verizon, you'd go to the Verizon store, get a Verizon SIM and put it in there.
That's
right?
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love this idea. I mean, and again, like Apple Pay, this is where Apple's clout in the marketplace can really make it better for consumers, I think, right?
And it makes the carriers compete for you, too, which, you know, lowers data prices and so forth.
Right. If I don't like you next month, I could go
exactly.
with somebody else.
And that's great. It's terrible for carriers and good for us, so I'm okay with that.
Wow.
I bet John Legere is happy with it, though. Like, something tells me that the T-Mobile's probably, like...
It's good for T-Mobile.
He would probably be the one CEO who would be, like, totally ecstatic about this.
Yeah, we're going
like,
to see...
Oh, right.
We're going to see eight more Uncarrier plan shenanigans based on this.
He loves piggybacking on Apple. I mean, he's...
Oh, he does. Yeah.
There is a cartoon here of John Ledger of T-Mobile going, yay, of the AT&T CEO, whoever the hell it is these days, going, oh, not again, Apple.
Exactly.
And of Verizon going, well, screw you. We're going our own way.
Right, because Verizon's like, we're Verizon.
We're Verizon. Sorry. But Verizon, because of its... primarily because of New York, I think.
They were Bell Atlantic. I mean, that's what they were.
They own Manhattan and
NLA. So Friday afternoon when it went down.
That's true.
Oops. But they also own LA. They've done very well in the metros. So much so that they are just everybody in LA and New York says, well, just Verizon's the best.
Yeah.
So they still have enough clout in the market to do that. T-Mobile obviously is thrilled. Anything that can pull business away from the other guys is good for T-Mobile.
I'm shocked that Sprint was part of it because I would have figured that, I guess they just figure that somebody somewhere might be tempted to go to Sprint. I don't know why would choose that. But
Sprint needs to do whatever it can right now. If Sprint's like, true. It's like going to the bank and getting a free checking account and they give you a blanket. Like if you go sign up for a Sprint account, they'll give you a free cooler.
You want a toaster? Anything.
Yeah, toaster.
I'll give you anything to do it.
They're like, please, we will pay you. We will pay you money. Please come.
They kind
to
of
us,
are
please.
In a way.
Is this though?
Yeah,
I mean, should they be a little worried about this because
Verizon? You mean?
Well, everybody because Google might do this with their Nexus, right?
If they've got the clout,
so you think? So Google's going to sell the Nexus 6, and we'll get to this in a little bit. But they're going to sell it on all the major U.S. carriers. In fact, U.S. Cellular as well, five carriers, which is kind of unusual for a Nexus phone. They're treating this more like a product, the developer edition. But it would be just so great if Google said, well, we don't need to be on those carriers. We're just going to put a universal SIM in here and let you choose. I just seems like, especially on a Nexus phone, which they can't possibly expect to sell a lot of.
No.
Well, no, I think the reason we can get to this, but like the reason the Nexus 6 is on all the carriers, Dan wrote a piece for us about this, is that it's they couldn't get the price down. The thing is $650 off contract.
It's insanely huge.
It's not what a Nexus is usually supposed to be.
I was wondering if that had to do with the fact that they couldn't get the price down or they decided, no, we should make money. This should be a business for us, not a developer platform. They're going to continue to sell the 5.
Yep.
So if you need an inexpensive phone and a developer platform, you could buy the Nexus 5.
Did they drop
5.
The price on that?
I don't know. I bet they will, though, right? Why would
they
you?
They have to, yeah.
But the Nexus 6 is such a monster. With it. It's got a UHD screen. It's six inches.
It's not a phone. I don't know what it is. It's a tablet is what it is. It's a tablet. It's not a phone.
It's a recognition, frankly, that the modern computing platform is no longer a desktop or even a tablet, but a phone with a big screen. And the question is, how big should the screen be? If you don't use it as a phone, but you use it primarily as a computer, how big, what's the right size? And I think the marketplace seems to think that the Galaxy Note and now the Shamu, appropriately named Killer Whale Nexus 6, should be 6 inches. I had a 1520, the Nokia 1520. I still have it. It just broke, but it's not too big. It's great.
Are you kidding me?
What do you have?
How is
the iPhone
6?
This is my main computer.
He's got the 6 Plus. Was that too big for you, Christina?
Are you kidding me? The 6 is too big for me, but the 6 Plus. I mean, I have the 6.
How tall are you, Christina? Are you small?
Christina's short.
I'm 5'5". No, but I'm very, very petite. but I'm very petite. Like, my wrist size is, like, I have childlike wrists. Like, people see the 6 in my hand, and they think it's the 6 Plus. Like, that more than one person has thought that I had the 6 Plus.
So I think people who
I'm
say...
I'm like, no, I just have the 6. So normal size, people who don't have childlike hands, fine. But
So
but
people who
me,
say it's too big are smaller people. But bigger people think as big. Well, the real answer is as big as you can stand.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and so that's funny. I got the 6, and I wish I got the 6 Plus because I didn't think I could stand that. And then having used other people's and played around with it.
I swap between two of them, and I always land on this one. I haven't touched my iPad since
I started using
this.
I'm the other way around. Well, I agree with you on that. I think it's bad news for the iPad.
It's definitely bad news
for
the
iPad. But I like the 6. I like the smaller one, frankly.
No, see, this is the 6 in my hand.
It's great.
It's floppy.
And the battery life is so good.
Well, the battery life's great on the 6.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Okay. It's all right.
It's a day.
It's fine.
It's a day. What are you? You're going to charge it every night, no matter what. Even if it's day and a half, are you going to not charge it the night before?
No, but then I'm not freaking out at night if I go out after work or something that I'm going to have to ask a bartender to charge my phone for me or something.
You need to that's why you travel with a Mophie.
No.
That's even worse.
Battery pack 6 plus.
No, I travel with battery packs. I'm not even joking. Like, that's I travel with battery packs in my purse.
That's because you have a purse.
Well, this is true. And people are like, oh, well, you could get the 6 Plus. It'll fit in your purse. I'm like, yeah, but it won't fit in my clutch.
I can't wait
That's a big distinction.
The Nexus 6 is my Nexus phone. Well, I cannot wait.
The Nexus 6 might be my tablet because I like the iPad Mini. And
like Steve said,
the new iPad Mini is such a huge disappointment that I'm thinking that I'll get a Nexus 6 and make it my tablet.
Exactly.
Which is insane, but...
Not insane. Yeah. It's right.
There's only one answer to this, so...
Well, that's my answer. It's always the right answer, as everyone knows. All right. Well, we might as well finish up Apple since we got on this, and then we'll move on to Google. Retina iMac.
I'm so excited.
You guys have played with it. So here's my concern. First of all, $2,500 for a 5K screen is what Dell's going to charge. So you get the computer for free.
Yeah.
So a computer with a 5K screen, 27 inches.
And a nice computer.
Yeah. It's an i5, right, the base model?
Base model.
That sounds, on the face of it, on paper, amazing. I'm very concerned that it will not keep up with the screen that they have. So you guys saw it. It looks great, I'm sure.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. On a still picture, fabulous. Did you try computing?
Just a little. I mean, it was the demo, so of course they were going to be perfect.
See, I want to get it at home and run a browser. I want to put the Verge on it, which is my, by the way, acid test.
Well, we're way easier on your browser than we used to be.
Oh,
so
that's terrible.
I'm sorry.
You screwed me up. Yeah, you don't have as many pictures on there. You got text.
No, since we went responsive, it's a much later page.
You.
I'm sorry.
I'll have to find a new heavy page. But it used to be. In fact, this is how I would test Chromebooks. If I could load the Verge up and scroll up and down without hesitation, that's a fast system. I want to see that kind of it's working well.
Yeah, it's
so
really
You guys screwed me. I have to find a new heavy web page. But that's what we need to do is see. I'm holding off on this. But if it's fast... If it's responsive, I'm going to sell my Mac Pro. Marco Arment at Marco.org said the same thing. He said, I feel Apple's almost screwed me because for less than a Mac Pro, I'm getting a better screen.
You don't need a Thunderbolt display.
I don't need all that.
You're getting a better screen than the Mac Pro might even be able to drive, period.
The Mac Pro cannot drive it because
Thunderbolt 2 is not exactly.
So this is a very – I have a 4K display. I have the Asus 4K display on my Mac Pro.
It's a good display.
It's a great display. It tears a lot because it's doing that –
It's doing the dual thing MST. Yeah,
MST.
So it does two screens side by side. And, yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's okay. But this should be better. No, this is what I'm excited about. And it's interesting because when the first 27-inch iMac came out 5 years ago, they did the same thing where it was basically the same price as what Dell was selling that screen for, and you got the whole computer. And that was why I bought that. That iMac, and I got like a fully tricked out one, and that's probably why I'm going to get a fully tricked out, 5K iMac.
As Marco also points out, that because it has the new top of the line i7 with a 4 GHz processor, it's the fastest single core processor in the Intel line, much faster than the 3.2 GHz on the Mac Pro for single core. If you're doing rendering, if you're doing OpenCL, there's certain high-end things that a Mac Pro might still be better for. The Xeon is pretty old now in that Mac Pro. But for most people, including a lot of, photo types, and this is the iMac is the way to go.
Yeah.
Typically the first generation of like Retina Macs you kind of want to shy away from. But
well, that remember with the iPad. The iPad 3 was a little sluggish because it's a lot of pixels.
It was pretty terrible.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's why they spent so long talking about
the T-Con
timing controller chip.
Crying out loud!
Look, man, they were
excited about that. So that's so that you could go 60 hertz, right, without doing this MLS stuff.
I think so.
We don't really.
I don't know. I have no idea.
It looked cool in the video.
I am more optimistic than I usually am with the first generation Retina product that is worth getting because it seemed fast when we looked at it, and it's the most amazing screen I've ever seen.
Right when I took this great photo of Tim Cook, like right as he's like describing it, and he's surrounded by press, and the look on his face is like, don't you just want it? And it's like, right, it's just like it just draws you in, and it's gonna be great. I don't think for normal folks, like, you know, just you look at Facebook all day or something, should not buy this. But if you're a photo or video editor, oh my God. My buddy's a professional photographer, and he
was freaking
out over it.
I would think that that's the market. Yeah, that's the market for this.
Now, see, what I want to know is, does this mean that we're going to finally see some 4K content or things like that come to iTunes? Because now they've got, you know, this stuff coming, you know, like, are we going to see that push, the 4K content sort of thing further? Or are we still going to be stuck with, like, you know, 1080p stuff for iTunes?
For you guys who live in small apartments in New York, by the way, I want to point out you can get a Visa mount. Yep. This new iMac, you could put it on the wall. That could be your TV.
Oh yeah, no, we did that with our 27-inch iMac actually.
Yeah.
To save space and got the wireless Bluetooth stuff set up. But yeah, it's great for that.
Can I just point out that nobody else in the past 5 years has managed to make desktop computing be anything other than like just insanely horribly boring, except for Apple. Like the idea that we're excited about desktop computers in 2014 is kind of shocking.
Well, but what's interesting, I don't think we're excited about the desktop computer. We're excited about the
screen. It's just the screen.
It has nothing to do with the computer.
It's still Yosemite.
It's a screen that has an awesome computer in it. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Like,
it can't do anything this thing can't do.
I think Dieter's right. It's kind of like the whole thing. The fact that we're excited about it at all. I mean, the fact that I think for me that was the most exciting part of the entire announcement was the new iMac.
Yeah, I ran right to that at the demo area. I was like, forget the iPads. I went right to the iMac, and it was awesome. Huh. Yeah, that's the photo I took. Yeah.
Tim has been on a giddy high for 2 months now. I don't think Tim has actually touched around.
I'm so proud of that photo.
That's a great picture.
That's such a good photo.
Who's that with the iPhone 6?
That's Vincent Nguyen from Slash Gear.
And there's a photo of me on the other side of that that was in Wired on Friday where I'm just like bored while Tim is talking, looking at my Twitter. I was actually tweeting that photo of Tim at the time.
That's a lot.
That photo was taken, yeah.
I came up about a minute after that. I took a photo of him, and I can't use it because Jason Snell was in the background. And he didn't realize I was taking the photo, and he was like, I feel really bad.
He photobombed you.
Yeah, he photobombed me.
I'd use it.
Well, it was funny because...
I'm a nice guy. Yeah. I once published a photo of Steve Ballmer where they called it the Mega Man photo because I had to get the picture up really quick, and he looked really funny. And I've been getting crap from Microsoft about it ever since.
See the power you wield, dude.
Yeah. Wow. Dangerous man.
Dangerous man.
I actually didn't... I didn't do the iMac cancel. I looked at it, but the first thing I had to get was the iPad mini, and
that's a disappointment. That's a disappointment.
I'm super angry about it.
There's no reason to buy it.
To buy it.
So yeah, Apple, again, hadn't, in fact, it probably was the message of that invitation. It's been way too long. What's been way too long since we put out an iMac mini? And there is a market for the Mac mini. It's a weird market, but there's a market for the Mac.
There is one.
I thought the "it's way too long" thing was just a jab that, like, we just saw you a month ago. And, like,
oh, there's a joke.
I think it's a joke.
That's kind of how I read it, too. They're just like, oh, yeah, we just saw you. But but the Mac Mini, it's been 2 years, 2.5 years since they updated
445 days or something. So, actually, I thought it was going to be the Apple TV, but I was completely wrong.
Yeah, I did, too. I was hoping to be the Apple TV, but... Because that's been, I mean, the Rev 3, I mean, I know they've had a Rev 3B, but it wasn't a hardware update. So that was March of 2012, because that was the same time the iPad 3 came out.
I do think that come June, WWDC, they'll announce an Apple TV update, and it'll do.
Oh, they have to.
It'll have an app store. They'll at least say, look, developers, start developing apps for the Apple TV, because we're going to put an app store in there. And one of the first apps will be HBO Go, because HBO announced this week that they were going to bypass the cable companies and start selling direct to customers. That's huge.
Huge.
That's the beginning of the end of the cable monopoly. And don't think the cable companies don't know it and see it coming. CBS did the same.
Yep.
Yep. The total access thing. I mean, that I don't think is going to be as successful because I don't see a huge market of people paying $6 a month for CBS, especially since you don't get everything. You don't get NFL. You don't get some of their other shows. But no,
you get a back catalog, though, don't you? I mean,
basically get the same back catalog that's on Netflix and Amazon. It's basically the same set they've already licensed otherwise. So it's really nothing that you wouldn't get otherwise. Like if you subscribe to Netflix or Amazon, then you get all that CBS content.
Right. Is HBO going to blink? I think that they could blink on this.
Well, it's not about
they're hearing right now from Brian Roberts at Comcast going, what are you, crazy?
They already knew. Comcast already knew this was coming. I mean, HBO has played this, I think, as smart as you could possibly play this. I've spoken with them a lot over the years since HBO Go was first announced, and they were very clear, you know, And still, the majority of the revenue for, you know, probably the next 5 years is going to come from cable subscribers. They're probably going to charge, I think they should charge $20 a month. I think they can, and I think that they're in a very...
You think 20?
Wow. Well, that's assuming it's HBO Go, which it might not be. It might be like a watered-down HBO Go.
HBO Go currently is everything.
Everything,
right?
Yeah. And you can watch it nearly live. Like, when the new episode of Game of Thrones comes on, you can pretty much watch it.
They could do HBO Go. They could do HBO, but, like, they wouldn't, they'd, like, take out the movies, so they wouldn't have to pay the licensing on that.
Or something like that, yeah. Or
who wants the movies? Nobody wants the movies on HBO.
It's a show,
yeah.
It's a series, but I really don't think
the comedy specials and sports.
I don't think they're going to do that at all. I think they're going to do the exact same thing, because if you're an HBO direct subscriber, then why would it be any different than being HBO Go? If they had to split it into two offerings, they could, where maybe you have to log into two different apps, but I don't think they'll do that. And the thing is, they've been so smart about this. You know, they introduced HBO Go and they basically said, we're going to give up our home video business, which was profitable, but wasn't a huge driver, but we're going to give up anybody buying our stuff on DVD. And we're going to do that so that we can keep subscribers longer, so that we don't have the attrition rate that we normally have. Because usually what happens, Netflix sees this too, we saw this with their earnings report, you lose subscribers when your show...
They watch every episode of Game of Thrones or House of Cards, and now I'm going to stop paying.
Subscription. And HBO goes through that cyclical thing. So a big part of HBO Go was two things. One, drop the attrition rate, keep people subscribed longer, right? The second thing was put in this... you know, groundwork for the fact that they can offer a pure, you know, OTA offering. And the thing is that if they price it at $15 or $20 a month, which I think is what they'll do, that's really not any cheaper than what you would pay if you had cable. Cable can still make the deal to maybe give you, you know, other reasons to want to subscribe to cable, you know, so you can get your authentication to access the Simpsons World app and access other things and access ABC, you know, their app and all that stuff. But what HBO is betting on is the fact that, you know, 25% of the study came out last week, I think it was, that 25% of the millennials are not pay TV subscribers. Right. Well, if HBO can capture even a small percentage of those people now, then when this starts to become a bigger trend, HBO still remains relevant. So I think that they're doing it in the smartest way possible. And if they price it what it's worth, and I think that they can charge $15 or $20 a month, I think HBO is one of the few networks that's worth that. I mean, I pay that as part of my cable plan, and you know, like one of the main reasons I've had cable for years, and I'm not going to give it up just because HBO goes cable free. But, you know, I when I was in college, true story, we had basic cable and I...
How'd you live?
Well, we got free basic cable in the dorm and I called up Comcast. It was in Media One at the time. And I ordered a cable box so I could get HBO. Why? Because I couldn't miss Sex and the City. And so, you know, I'm one of those people who the power of those shows is huge. And, you know, I think that if they can, they'll still get most of the revenue from the cable companies, but they're going ahead and planting that seed so that they have a real transition opportunity. And I think that it'll work well for them. And I think the cable companies had to know it was coming. They had to know when HBO Go was first coming that it was going to be an opportunity. And now at this point, you know, the cable companies either have to do something better with their, you know, bundling options, or they have to offer more value, or they have to be ready to say, okay, you know what, for the most part, we're also an ISP, so we are still the pipe regardless. So how do we now augment this so we can get a cut? And what that probably means is that when you buy your internet subscription, you can pay and get bundles where, you know, if you pay X amount of money, you get Netflix and Amazon and HBO Go and maybe the CBS deal. And in the end of the day, you pay just as much as you paid when it was cable, and it looks just like cable. And it's delivered through the same pipe as cable, but because it's OTA, you can get it on other devices too and watch it out of the home.
You know,
and
I gotta say
that
you're
getting the stuff you want that way too. Like my ideal setup would be HBO, Netflix, ESPN,
Hulu, Showtime,
maybe Hulu or something. Yeah. And then if someone can offer that over the top, done. That's like, what else do I need to watch? Oh, Comedy Central.
No, totally. And cable can do that.
Aren't you concerned?
By the way, Comedy Central's owned by Viacom.
Right.
Which
and then they'll probably lump it into a bunch of other stuff too.
I don't know
that I want my
internet provider giving like discounts on certain channels on the internet. I don't know that I really want
absolutely
HBO Go bundled into my internet.
Of having that over the cable versus over the internet will be almost identical, right? These guys are not idiots. They're going to continue to compete by keeping the costs identical.
Of course, of course. And the thing is that, you know, I don't know about you, Dieter, but for me, you know, Cablevision is my cable provider and they're my internet provider.
Yep.
So regardless, I'm paying a discounted rate to them. What I'm saying is that I already right now, they're they're negotiating fees for ESPN and HBO and Fox and Viacom and all those companies. And they're negotiating those things. And those carriage rates are being negotiated on the back end. And that's what's determining the cost of my cable bill.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is, like, I am fine with HBO playing shenanigans with the cable company for TV. But once they become an internet service, then, like, them playing shenanigans with the idea of internet starts to feel like it's heading towards encroaching towards being a problem with net neutrality.
I see what you're saying.
A little bit.
Yeah, and I could see that. But, I mean, I think at that point it just becomes HBO offers the price and this is what the price is. And if your cable company wants to offer bundles, right, you know, for packages, then that becomes an option. But you could still pay $15 or $20 or whatever it is, but your cable provider might offer you a special deal. And that's not unheard of. I mean, they do that already with other, you know, sorts of services. So I could see, I hear what you're saying for the net neutrality thing, but I think that's probably going to happen. I don't think they'll be able to charge more. You'll have the base rate, and then the cable company is going to do what they can to entice you to bundle more things together. And they'll probably do that by doing a discount, which is the same way that, you know, that's how you end up getting Cinemax and the movie channel when you get Showtime or HBO. You don't really care about Cinemax because who watches it, but it's like free or it's like a dollar. So I'm like, all right, well, I might as well get Cinemax for a dollar. You know, I might as well get the movie channel for a dollar because it's free or thereabouts.
What's,
you know what I mean?
Really clear, though, is this is chaos. It is going to be continue to be chaotic. And the only hope, it seems to me, is a company with enough clout like Apple and the Apple TV can make the deals that perhaps make it possible for this to work. And that's why I think in June you're going to see Apple make some announcements. And that's when the new Apple TV.
It sounds like
that
got blown up this year with Time Warner. And
yeah, I think they've been moving towards it. But I hear the drumbeat again and again. And this HBO announcement and the CBS announcement kind of, to me, confirms it. That Apple is about ready to do this.
I don't
this.
Think Apple's got the bandwidth.
They don't, but they may not have the cloud.
I don't think they do.
It's cloud. They're busy. They got to get this watch out the door and have it not be a disaster.
They should drop the watch right now.
Well.
Seriously. Nobody wants that watch. Except some, I don't know, Vogue China wants that watch. We're going to find out why you hate the Mini.
Yeah.
In just a second. Dieter Bohn is here from The Verge. You're executive. What is your title?
Executive editor.
I like it. I don't know what it means, but it sounds like a good pay grade.
Authoritative.
It's authoritative. Yeah. From Business Insider, Steve Kovac. What's your title?
Senior editor.
Senior. Executive senior. I don't know. They seem both. They seem good. Christina Warren from Mashable. You're at large.
No, I'm senior tech analyst.
Oh, excuse me. Me, I'm just some guy. We are going to have more with all three of them in just a second, but right now it's snack time. I have brought the snack box, Nature Box, ladies and gentlemen. Deliciously awesome snacks delivered to your door monthly in a Nature Box. And what makes these snacks so good? They're nutritionist approved. There are no high fructose corn syrups, 0 grams trans fat, no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. They are just good stuff. In fact, we buy them for our business. They now have a business plan, which is good because we've been just – how many boxes a month have we been getting? Like 20 – we get like 20 – they're testing a business plan. We get like 20 boxes a month at the business. You should get a box every day or every month to your door. Actually, every day would be good. This is your favorite, Lisa, Big Island Pineapple Rings, the best pineapple rings ever. They have sweet, they have savory, they have spicy. You can get an assortment or pick one you want. They have vegan if you want to get vegan snacks. They got them. Hundreds of choices, really. They've got gluten-conscious snacks. They've got snacks for people with allergies of all kinds. So you can get a snack that's good for you, good for your kids. You won't hesitate giving these to your kids, by the way. They are going to love these. All sorts of interesting stuff. What do we got? I'm going to get, gentlemen, you can choose Big Island Pineapple Rings, Flax Fortune Cookies. We've got tart and tangy fruit medley.
Is there a spicy one?
Praline pumpkin seeds. You know what you would like is the sriracha roasted cashews.
That sounds awesome.
I don't have any of those. Lone Star. They got F.
Thanks.
Can we get somebody in the back? Can we get a sriracha roasted cashew for Steve here? So you like the spicy.
I like the spicy stuff.
Here's the deal. If you go to naturebox.com/twit, you can get a sampler free delivered to your door so you get an idea of what it is that you're in the what would you just Dieter anything what do you like for snacks? You just had potato pancakes at Howie's.
I did just have potato
you're probably
pancakes.
Not real hungry.
Not super hungry, but if I were, I would probably eat some pumpkin seeds.
All right, here we go. You know what? Take these home.
All right.
For your trip home. Those are praline pumpkin seeds, which is better than everyday pumpkin seeds. Naturebox.com/twit. This is our most popular sponsor with all of our hosts.
Yes. Yeah. Free food.
Free food. Christine, have we sent you a Nature Box yet?
You have not, but I would love one.
You will get one. We will arrange to get one for Christina.
She's been on like 80 of our shows in the last 2 weeks. So she really, we got to send her something. Snacks would be good. I could send you this new UV light. This is creepy.
I think I want one of those.
$16. It will reveal dog and cat urine stains in their carpet.
Probably other stains, too.
Oh, perfect for hotel room inspection applications. You know what I mean. That's what it says on here. See bed bugs before they get you. Reveal rodent contamination. Hunt scorpions.
What?
Are scorpions, they glow in the dark?
Scorpions glow.
Or, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Finally, I can hunt scorpions.
That's, and you can tell if somebody's got dental work because it doesn't turn white. Look at that. All my own. See? Anyway, we're not selling that, but I we oughta. That is awesome. All right, why are you mad, Dieter Bone, about the Mac Mini? What's mad about it?
So the Mac, you can't upgrade the RAM.
The RAM is soldered in.
And it used to be that you could, you know, get the screw the bottom off and you could access everything in it. Now they put tamper-proof screws on it, so if you go to upgrade your hard drive, you void your warranty.
Wow. They did this because they wanted a $499 computer, right?
I guess. I don't know. They did it because it's simpler to sell, I guess. Like, do you think making it non-replaceable brings the cost down because it's soldered on, so it's cheaper to manufacture? Is that what you're thinking?
I think that really all that mattered about the Mac Mini from their point of view was to get it back to the original $500 price point because they needed an entry-level Mac, and they had to do whatever they could do to make that work. They didn't want to cannibalize other Macs by having a Mac that was, you know, what the worst nightmare is $499 and it's insanely upgradable.
Right.
You don't want that.
Nice.
So you want to make a Mac that people will buy who are very price conscious, but you don't want it to cannibalize existing sales. I think it actually fills a price point. It's good to have a $499 Macintosh. You don't get a keyboard, you don't get a mouse, you don't get a monitor. But what they've always said about the Mac Mini is, well, if you've already got all of those, i.e. if you're a Windows user, buy a Mac Mini, put it in there, and you can develop for Mac, and you can do other stuff. I think it makes sense, but I agree it's not.
I just think at that price point, that's a sort of computer where you buy it and you're like, oh well, I'll just get the cheap one now, and I can upgrade it later because you know I'd only got $500 to spend.
Right.
It just seems like they change it just to lock it down, and that's kind of offensive to me.
I'm with you, but it's weird though because at this point it's only the iMac that really and the Mac Pro that let you upgrade because everything else is soldered in. I mean, you can get third party hard drives. You know, OWC has done a pretty good job of keeping up with the various SSDs. You know, they come up with the custom ones. I don't think they have it for the Mac Book Air, the 2013 or the 2014 yet, but they do those. But I mean, basically they've soldered everything in, and it's kind of sad because. I mean, it's such an Apple thing to do, but that has kind of historically been a great thing about the Macs, at least, is even though, you know, you can't do tons of upgrades, you could at least upgrade your RAM, you could at least upgrade your hard drive. And now, you know, even the Mac Mini, you can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, it is a problem. If you've got $500, you've got to think and you've got to keep in mind, okay, what I buy now is what I'm stuck with. And if I want to get, you know, more RAM later on, I'm screwed. So, you know, you kind of have to tell people, okay, probably buy as much RAM as you can afford when you're buying it because you're never going to be able to do it again.
Well, on the bright side, they're not charging quite as much as they used to for RAM upgrades, I don't think.
Right.
I'm looking right now.
No. They're significantly cheaper, so that's at least better. But it's
$100.
It's $100.
I mean, the other Mini I'm disappointed is the iPad Mini. I want the smaller tablet, and there's no reason to get the new
one
at
all.
There's no reason.
So. I wrote this thing actually last week called the iPad Mini is the new iPod Touch, and it was kind of my view of that after the iPhone 6 Plus, how they were probably going to position the Mini. And that's kind of what I think they're doing is they're saying, you know, the iPad Air is going to be our hero device. That's what we really want to push people towards. And the iPad Mini is increasingly becoming less important.
Yep.
But to your point, it's such a 180 from what they did last year where they had, you know, the iPad Air and the iPad Mini, the same specs. And now, you know, basically you can get a great deal on last year's iPad Mini. I think that's actually now a really great value of the tablet.
So they're
right
still
now.
Selling that.
Yeah, they're still selling it.
And the original
less.
iPad Mini.
Mm. Yeah.
The original iPad Mini is $250.
Yeah. $250. Yeah.
Which is
you can get an
incredible.
iPad now
not
for
retina.
It's not Retina.
No.
But you get an iPad for
they
$250.
They do that for education?
Yeah. They do it because it's cheap.
Yeah, I mean,
the whole deal with the iPad Mini was...
Because they have 1,000 of them in the store, in the warehouse.
Everybody was... Well, if you remember when Amazon, the iPad Mini... No, sorry. When the iPad Mini first came out, people were like, oh, Apple's got to make a cheap tablet. Everybody figured they had to do it. And then they released the thing, and it wasn't cheap at all. And what are you doing? And they're now finally playing in that cheap tablet space at $250, but then they've got this high-end one at $500, $400?
Starts at $499.
Starts
at
$499. $500. That is a completely terrible deal compared to last year's model, which is like a pretty good deal.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what Apple's never going to do again? Force you to download a U2 album. The band was on Facebook.
Can you please never release an album on iTunes that automatically downloads to people's playlists ever again? It's really rude.
Bono has the response here.
Oops. I'm sorry about that. I had this beautiful idea. Mine got carried away with ourselves.
He's very humble. This is a great apology.
To that kind of thing. Drop of megalomania, touch of generosity, a dash of self-promotion, and
are they sitting back to back?
It's the very weird thing. They did this video on YouTube where they go around and around. Anyway, you know what? Credit to Bono. That's actually a pretty good apology. Something Apple never did, even though they did release a tool to remove the album.
Yeah.
Which I did immediately, by the way.
I like you too. I thought that was beautiful, what Bono said. I thought it was a little spammy to push it out. By the way, they said we were going to be working together. You two said we're going to be working together with Apple for lots of cool stuff over the next couple of years. Innovations that will transform the way music is listened to and viewed.
It's pretty easy to be magnanimous when you got 26 million downloads.
26 million. How many of those were inadvertent?
Well,
all of them.
Good amount, I'm sure. U2, when was the last time U2 had a good album? Like 20 years ago?
Oh, man, you guys are cool.
No. Elevation was a decent album in 2000.
No.
Well, Beautiful Day, come on. Beautiful Day is a good song. Don't hate.
Vertigo,
I'm gonna
come
hate.
On.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was like 2000, so we're talking like 15 years, but still.
You guys are so cold.
It's dad rock.
But I do wonder. So,
dad rock, guess what? It is dad. So really, so the young people think U2 is dad
oh,
rock.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, of course.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Now, Dieter, do we think that if WebOS had done this, because, you know, you two, like, owned Palm, do you think that, like, that could have, like, saved WebOS?
Yeah.
You would be the right person to ask.
Completely.
I would, are you a WebOS fanatic?
Yeah,
your secret harbor, a secret desire?
I founded PreCentral.net.
I loved the pre.
Yeah.
I loved the pre, and I loved WebOS. And what happened? LG, was it LG that killed it?
Well, I mean, it was HP that killed it.
HP killed it, but LG bought it for their TVs.
LG bought what was left of it and made TVs with it.
It was open source, wasn't it?
No, I think they bought it.
Part of it was open source, and then they bought the rest of the team, the part that wasn't open sourced. But now the guys that went, the last vestiges of LG, the two designers, they quit. They're now at Pebble. And at the same time, there's a rumor that LG is making a WebOS smartwatch, which is hilarious.
You can't. Yeah, really, that'll be good. You can't deny, though, the impact of WebOS with cars. Look at the new Android Lollipop. Yeah. I mean, at WebOS.
Even iOS a little bit.
Yeah, iOS. Yes. Oh, totally. Absolutely. So, you know what?
You really don't want to open this box.
I'm telling you, you haven't been in the business long enough if you hadn't had your heart broken at least once by a superior technology that never made it.
Right.
Well, BOS. Does anybody remember?
Yeah.
BOS. Oh, yeah. I loved that. I loved BOS.
Yeah. So there have been...
Minidisc?
Literally, this is part of...
Are you still sad about Minidisc?
Yeah, Minidisc. Well, no, I'm not sad. You're sad about Minidisc?
Minidisc was awesome.
Why was it awesome?
It was amazing.
Because it was like the future.
You could do anything with it. And you could connect it to a keyboard and like type in your track names, and you could use it as like a DAT, and you could... Before the iPod came out, I would use it as an MP3 player. Wow. I would hook it up to my sound card, and I would download music from... Or I would play music through my sound card onto Minidisc, and then it would do the auto track titles. And this was like in 1999.
I think the best you could say about Minidisc is it was kind of convenient.
It was so... I love
it. They were physically just awesome little gadgets.
They were. And then you could do anything to them. They were indestructible.
Except for that
they're indestructible.
A-track
that was great.
Format. The
can't
A-track,
well,
the A-track compression was awful.
Yeah, but if you put MP3s on them, like they sounded great.
Well, you could put other formats on them, but the players wouldn't play it, would it?
No, but by the end they could. I mean, I even had one that would let you... send MP3s directly to your Minidisc. This is like right after the iPod.
We reviewed a Sony Walkman this week on Before You Buy. Do we still have that lying around? It looks exactly like a Zune HD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Weird. They still make Walkman, but it plays high res music.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that looks just like the Pono. And it's weird.
Well, no, it's flat.
It's flat, right? But it looks like an iPad. It looks like an iPod Nano from like two generations ago.
Yeah, or Zune HD.
Sony.com/Walkman is a site that still exists.
You guys are searching.
have you seen the new Walkman?
I'm looking at it right now.
Hilarious. I haven't seen it in person, but it's just ridiculous.
I haven't seen it in person yet.
All right,
this is great.
Yeah. Like why do you?
It's adorable, Sony.
It's like they just had parts lying in a closet someplace.
They don't easily let go of old technologies. Yeah. I mean, remember that they kept that mini disc alive for. There it is, that silver thing. That's it.
Yeah. They meant to release that 10 years ago and forgot.
It's $300.
For
64 gigs. It's insane. And when I saw that price, I was at their launch.
Is it just because it's high res?
Yeah.
Yes. And Tony Bennett was there. They're talking about all this stuff. And I couldn't stop laughing.
By the way.
And the Sony people were so kind, but I couldn't stop laughing.
You put high-res FLAC files on there, you get about 10 albums, and you're done.
Exactly. And it's $300. I'm like, are you kidding me, Sony? Like, really?
1,000 songs in your pocket. All right. There's one more story, which is a sweet story. And I'm just going to report it so you can go read it. New York Times had the story today about the autistic kid.
This is great.
I think it's written by his mother, right? The autistic kid basically 13-year-old fell in love, became friends with Siri, and would go on for hours talking back and forth to Siri. It's a very sweet story. And, I mean, there's not much to say about it. There's no news. It's probably not a prescription for autistic kids, but still, it's kind of a sweet.
If you haven't read it, you need to read it.
Yeah. It's heartwarming.
It's great.
Yeah. Kid loves his Siri. I bet you they make a movie. It's kind of like Her.
I was going to say, I thought they did. I thought that was called Her.
Yeah. They made a reference to Her. It's not quite like that, though.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No.
Last night, as he was going to bed, there was this matter-of-fact exchange. Gus, the 13-year-old, Siri, will you marry me? Siri, I'm not the marrying kind. I mean, not now. I'm a kid. I mean, when I'm grown up. My end user agreement does not include marriage. Oh, okay. Gus didn't sound too disappointed. This was useful information to have. And for me, too, since it was the first time I knew he actually thought about marriage. He turned over to go to sleep. Good night, Siri. Will you sleep well tonight? I don't need much sleep, but it's nice of you to ask. Somebody designed some heart into Siri. I think that's pretty amazing.
Finally, something useful.
Something you can do with Siri. All right, we have Google announcements to talk about as well.
Oh, yes.
There's a big week for Google. Google did its announcements the day before the Apple event, but I don't think they took the wind out of Apple's sails.
No.
You think they wanted to?
They tried.
They did their best.
Failed. I don't know that they totally failed. I think that I saw more reader engagement off of Google stuff than I did off
Apple
stuff.
Did you?
Yeah.
And you too?
Compared to the iPad event was a snooze. This was actually interesting. Google's new smartphone.
I kind of agree,
Our readers were way more into it.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
If traffic is any indication, more Moto X's will be sold than iPad Airs.
Yeah. Like Apple got beat by a Google blog post.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
But can autistic kids fall in love with Moto X?
No.
No.
Yeah. Google now doesn't talk back to you.
You know what they did, though? They did a really annoying thing. Wake up.
The Moto hint.
Listen to this. Yeah, I have a hint. It's not. No. It's no Scarlett Johansson.
Well.
Wake up, Moto X. How old is Scarlett Johansson? They did something really annoying.
Opening Google.
Opening Google.
What?
They've added opening
Instead of just
Google.
Giving you the answer.
Siri, are you
kidding me?
Siri will say.
Scarlett Johansson is 29 years old.
She's my age.
Wow.
I have a chance.
You have a shot.
Yeah. Nice.
Is she married? Oh, wake up, Moto X. Is she married? Find out. We're going to ask.
Opening Google.
I don't want you to say that!
Scarlett Johansson's partner has been Romain Doriac since 2013.
Oh, you got it easy. How can you compete with a guy named after a lettuce?
Yeah.
You got it.
I'm verified on Twitter. I totally have this.
You have this. So they added, I mean, this is a minor pet peeve, but they did an update this week that added opening Google to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you're opening Google. Would you stop telling me that? That's a mistake. That's stupid. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the actual things that Google announced in just a bit. But first, our word from our favorite audiobook company in the whole wide world, audible.com. Anybody here listen to audiobooks?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Subway and
Christina,
stuff.
Christina, are you like, do you need to read the paper?
No, I love Audible. In fact, now that they have the Whisper Sync for voice that'll link your Audible account and your
awesome?
Kindle account, like you can go back and forth. So on the subway, I'll listen to stuff if I don't have time to read, and then I'll go back and read. No, I love Audible.
I did that with The Goldfinch, which is like 800 hours long. I would read it on the Kindle, and then it would pick up the audio where I left off. It is so great. And there are times when you're listening to a book, you'd like to see the text, like how the names are spelled. Game of Thrones is a good one. You hear the name.
You're like, what?
You know, Daenerys Targaryen, and then you see it on the page and you go, what? That's kind of a fun little disconnect there. Audible has 150,000 titles. Nowadays, audio has become so important because of people's longer commutes and everything that every new book comes out on audible.com. So you can, for instance, the new Walter Isaacson, which just came out, The Innovators. I haven't read that, but I know a lot of people are saying good things about it. Yeah, of course it's on audible.com. There are so many great books, fiction, nonfiction, books about our business, our industry, books of science fiction. I'm a big science fiction buff, and Audible has such a commitment to science fiction, they went back and they've started recording the classic science fiction, which was, of course, never put out on audiobooks. Their Audible Frontiers now has hundreds of titles, including the great stuff from Heinlein and Asimov, stuff that was never recorded. I am a big fan. If you have not tried Audible, we understand. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know, is this for me? Oh, look, Tim Curry and Alan Cumming, dramatized version of Dracula. Simon Vance, Catherine Kell. Oh, this would be
That's
awesome.
Cool.
15 hours. I didn't realize the original Dracula was that long. This is Bram Stoker's novel, dramatized. They do this a lot, which is wonderful. They've done it with Neil Gaiman stuff. I think it was Neverwhere. They did such a great dramatization. So, look, there's going to be plenty of choices here. I invite you to go to audible.com, browse around. When you're ready, when you find two books, I want you to pick two books. Then go to audible.com/twit2. That's audible.com and twit, the number two, because you are going to get those two books free. You're going to sign up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month free, plus the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Really great stuff. If you're driving to work or you're at the gym on the treadmill, that's nothing more boring than the treadmill, but the Audible makes it, you know, fun. In fact, it goes by like that because you want to, it's a page turner. You want to hear the next thing. Audible.com/twit2. The Platinum account, first 30 days are free. That means your first two books are free. Cancel any time in that first 30 days. You'll pay nothing, but the books will always be yours. They're yours to keep. There are so many great choices. Audible. Oh, look, Neil Patrick Harris reading Choose Your Own Autobiography. This must be new. I don't remember this.
That's got to be hilarious.
Read by the author.
Yeah, that just came out.
Oh, wow. How can that be bad, right? See, this is the only problem. You go here and now it's, I want to read that. Lena Dunham's new book, Not That Kind of Girl.
Did she read it?
Yeah, of course. I have to say, most of the time, I don't want the author to read it. But when it's somebody like Lena Dunham.
If it's a memoir,
yeah, it's in their voice, it's great. Oh, this is good. One more thing. Stories and Other Stories. This is the Office folks. BJ Novak, Rainn Wilson, Jenna Fisher. Yeah. This has got Katy Perry, Lena Dunham, and Mindy Kaling. Wow.
Wow.
You've read this, obviously, as well. Christina, you're amazing.
I have, yeah. No, actually, BJ came in to did a book reading for a Mashable's book club. And I had him sign my Kindle version.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I had him sign your Kindle. The cover. I found a way to have him sign it, and then I switched to the cover so that the cover is the autographed version. But
Awesome. This sounds great. I'm going to have to listen to this. Anyway, you got two books. Take it. Use them wisely, Grasshopper. Audible.com/twit2. You're going to love it. And that's all I can say. And if you don't, well, it didn't cost you anything. What did you lose? Nothing. You heard some good books. Okay, Google. Finally. Gosh, here we are an hour into the show. We're finally talking about Google. Wednesday, they didn't have an event.
No.
They just put out a blog post. That's very Googly.
Well, they're having an event this week.
Oh, are they?
In New York. Yeah.
What about it? What are they doing?
Like an open house.
It's kind of like just a showcase thing in New York. Yeah.
Don't you want to see the Shamu?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to be back in time.
I don't care about the Nexus 9. They have a 9-inch tablet. I couldn't care less.
I care only insofar as I feel like Google and HTC need to be shamed for making the base model of the tablet only 16 gigs of memory.
Yeah, like who?
Same with the iPad.
That is not enough for a tablet.
You know why they do that?
To make you spend extra $100.
Well, they want that price point starting at to be low. they know no one will buy it, or no one who, unfortunately, you know, you buy an iPad with 60 gigs,
a lot of people buy that.
Update to iOS 8 because they've got no free space.
I wrote about this today. That's the most annoying thing with Apple's storage pricing.
iOS 8 won't, you can't get,
on a new one. You need 5 gigs.
It's like, you, how could you? Okay. I'm going to take a breath. So anyway, yes, I agree with you. Shame them. HTC made the Nexus 9. It'll be nice, I'm sure. But I don't even want a tablet anymore.
Yeah.
I want a 6-inch phone, baby. That's the Nexus 6. Not priced like traditionally. Priced like a feature high-end, you know, phone, but it's what, 650, I think it starts at. Is that the 16 gig version? See, nobody pays
attention.
I don't
know how many gigs it comes with.
No,
yeah,
it's 32
they see the starting price.
It's 32 and 64.
Yeah.
32 so that's good. And 64. For, yeah, $80 more, something like that, you can get the 64.
And does it have an SD card too?
Does
no.
not.
No.
Not a no removable battery. It's basically a swollen Moto X, right?
Is that the
basically.
New Moto X?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this thing is going to feel huge, right? I mean, the 6 Plus.
This is 5.5 inches.
It's fine. Because it's super thin, but the Shamu is going to feel like
back.
A whale.
Yeah.
It's going to feel gigantic.
Really?
It is.
Really?
And no, yeah, it is. Because, I mean, Samsung, the Note 4, even though it's a bigger screen, they do so much to taper the sides that it really doesn't feel much bigger than the 6 Plus. And this, I mean, at 6 inches, it's going to be gigantic. I mean,
there are
it's
a lot
ginormous.
Of similarities between the Note 4 and the Nexus 6. They're both Ultra HD 6, very almost 6-inch screens. No stylus, of course, on the Nexus 6.
That's okay.
Yeah, this is basically just, this is very also very similar to the, what is it, the LG G3?
Yeah, now the G3, people complained about that UHD screen because it was sluggish, right?
Yeah.
And it killed battery life. Presumably, the Nexus 6 won't have that problem because it has a very big battery in it.
32, 20 million.
And the Note 4 battery was great, too.
And the Note 4 battery is good. And that nice thing about the Note 4, as always with Samsung, you can open the back and put a new battery in. So just carry a battery around, right?
Nexus 6, also wireless charging.
Qi charging.
Qi.
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 I don't care about that.
I don't care about that because the Nexus 6 has the Qualcomm fast charging capability. So you're probably going to want to hook it up to a wire.
Which is really nice, by the way.
Is it? Have you played with it?
On the Note 4, I did, yeah. Quick charging.
So the idea is it's very quick to charge at the beginning. It does slow down as you get to the end of the cycle, but you get the first 50% in an hour.
Something like that, yeah. Oh, in 30 minutes, I think.
30
on the
minutes?
Note 4, yeah.
Yeah, it's wicked fast.
But that's mostly what you want, right? Because you're not saying, well, I want 100%. I just need to go a little longer.
Exactly.
Let me give this to the bartender, and he'll charge it for half an hour.
Right.
Well, you need the special plug.
Right.
It doesn't work with any plug.
Now, okay, let's ask about that. Is it really just a high wattage charger?
That I don't know.
I think it is.
They just told me you can only use it with this charger.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out because I'm going to have a Note 4 tomorrow, and whenever the 6 comes out, I'll have that. And I'm just going to plug it into my high wattage charger, and I bet you the same
thing. Same thing.
It probably will be.
They're pushing more electrons at it. I would bet, but I don't know.
But it's also smart enough to start sipping after it gets.
I was going to say, there's got to be. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something special with the plug or something, because you know you can usually charge a little bit faster if you use like an iPad charger with the phone. But I have a feeling they're probably doing something to make it sip that much faster, like Steve is saying.
That's a little annoying because I bought the new Moto X and it doesn't come with that. It comes with the old charger, and for $30 I can buy the new charger.
Mm-hmm.
But they are bundling it with the Nexus 6. Does Samsung bundle it with the Note 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the box.
In the box. Oh, and this was what I'll try. I'll try the Note 4 charger on the Nexus 6 phone.
See, that'll be the interesting thing to see if they align it.
It's all Qualcomm technology.
Right. Yep. But I could just see... I could just see the Nexus anyway being like, no, you've got to use ours.
No, it's the other way
Samsung
around.
Being like, you've got to use ours.
Samsung flipping a bit so that it doesn't quite...
That's
like
true.
They did that with the USB to go. They just... It's a little bit different. So you can't really use anybody else's devices with it. All right, so Google announced a new tablet. Okay, good. I like the Nexus 7. You'll get Lollipop. That's the other thing. They're going to ship both this new phone, the Nexus 6 and the Nexus 9 tablet, with the next version of Android 5.0. And we learned it's Lollipop. Boom, 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 boom. So that's good. It's not – do you think they tried to make a deal – with Lifesavers, like they did with Hershey's.
Or what, Lemonhead.
Lemonhead.
Yeah.
Laffy
Lemon.
Taffy. Do
you think I didn't like that Kit Kat business. I'm glad
it's me off.
I'm glad it's generic.
I didn't
want
to do an ad for a candy bar
That's
every time I mentioned the new version of Android.
And then it was weird, too, because it's, like, Nestle in the UK, and then it's, like, Hershey in the US, and it was weird, and just, so you felt like you were shilling for two different companies. Now,
so
what's interesting about the Nexus 9 is it's 4x3, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's iPad style, which is interesting, I think, for an Android tablet. I personally think that, especially for that size, I think 4x3 is superior for a lot of purposes.
I do, too.
So I'm actually really excited to have a 4x3 Android tablet.
We've had a big enough problem getting Android apps looking decent on Android tablets. Bigger than the Nexus 7 in the first place, and so to ask them to be bigger and to be on a 4x3 tablet, I expect that it's going to just be a bummer of waiting for software the way it's always been on Android tablets.
This will be a good test of the scaling libraries.
I was going to say that's what Kevin Marks is always telling me. He's like, "Oh, but the scaling libraries on Android is so much better, and that's why it's so much." And I'm like, "Yeah, and then why do all of the tablet apps look completely terrible?"
I suspect,
and no one has an answer for that.
I suspect it's because they don't use the scalers.
I would agree with
that. They hand code the screens, and then they go, "Oops, oops, there's a new screen." Oops, but I don't know. I can't pretend to know.
Yeah, it's got that K1 processor. Oh, and boom sound.
This is the new Tegra.
Good old boom sound.
And to me, this is exciting. You're talking about the Nexus 6 now. On the Moto X, they put ports for two speakers, but one is one is the music speaker and one is the phone speaker. They don't do stereo left right. They had the good sense to duplicate HTC's one and put left right stereo speakers on the front. That'll be the only other phone with that, and I think that's great.
Yeah, sounds great too.
I don't know if it'll sound like boom sound though. Boom sound is boom sound.
Well, no, I mean, hey, it's a 6-inch phone, right? So, I mean, if it's even halfway decent, if it's even got a little bit of power in it, like that actually probably wouldn't be a terrible, like little, like mini kind of Bluetooth
maybe
thing.
There's,
you know,
a subwoofer that you could add.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably pair it with something to make it sound really good. I'm just saying it's big enough. It's bigger than like my Jambox at that point. My Jambox Mini is probably smaller than the Nexus 6.
Do you think this is Google's attempt? I think it is to kind of not release a developer platform. This was going to be the silver, right? Mm-hmm. This is an actual product. And Google says, no, we could sell phones. Apple could sell phones. We're going to sell phones.
Yeah, but they've tried this how many times now, Leo? And they failed every single time. The Nexus One was supposed to be a consumer product.
One of the great phones.
The carrier model.
By the way, one of the great phones of all time. But that's exactly what they did wrong. They pissed off the carriers.
They failed. Yeah, they pissed off the carriers, and it was a huge failure. And then they've tried, you know, with a couple other things, even some of their first. I mean, they bought Motorola and then sold Motorola for scraps.
This baffles me.
It's funny to me that they're doing this big phone and doing this product a year after they sold Motorola.
Right.
It's also interesting that you can now go into any major carrier store and buy a Nexus phone, which you haven't been able to really do.
Right.
That's why are they doing that? They've done a deal with Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, T-Mobile, U.S. Cellular.
They're in brick and mortar stores now. You can
Can go to Target. You go to Best Buy. Yeah. So what? I don't understand. Why did they do that now? What's different? Is it now them saying, "Oh, we're sorry, carriers. We should have done a deal with you. Now we're going to."
I think it's
probably
they just didn't know how to do it before because they've always been like, "Oh, we're gonna disrupt the carrier."
They didn't like the carriers.
They didn't
really disrupt everything, and they didn't realize we're not Apple. Products.
That's a shame because I think that they should continue to disrupt the carriers. But they don't have the
cloud. It's not working, and they don't have physical stores. I mean, people still go into physical stores a lot to check out the new phones and touch them and stuff.
Although a lot of the nerds in this audience, and I'll include us, but everybody watching at home, will buy a Nexus 6 sight unseen just because we trust it.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, totally. But then the problem is, I mean, and you run into this even if you're a nerd, like you buy the phone and then it has a problem and then there's no one you can call.
Right.
Like you've got to get on the phone. Like at this point, I guess it'll be Motorola and whoever you can talk to. But like you've got to email somebody to like get a return set up because there's literally no phone number to call. So, I mean, that does actually become a little bit frustrating from the buying perspective. At least this way, you're able to go into a store and if it doesn't work or you've got an issue with it, you can at least physically take it back someplace.
And the carriers have that.
Exactly.
I feel so bad. I had a caller on the radio show today, a nice lady named Francine. Her Google Mail got hacked. She Googled to find somebody to help her with it. And she found a phone number in Indonesia.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You all know what's next.
Yeah.
She called it. They said, well, okay, $299. We'll fix this. Oh, by the way, we need remote access to your machine.
Ooh.
So they got her credit card number. They got $300. They got access to her machine. And then she had something else. So she Googled it again and found somebody in Russia or somewhere. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, Qatar. Soccer capital of the world. in Qatar, and they charge her only $50, but they also had access. And I said, you know what? You're done. Just take the computer, throw it out the car window, because you're gone. It's done.
Yeah.
And people, but people want to call somebody, and that's
they
the point.
They do. They do. And that's did, the problem.
She said, well, I Googled it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, because people don't understand. I mean, Google's so big, and the fact they have no tech support. And I mean, you know, my father, the reason I refuse to give him tech support anymore is he's not once, not twice, but thrice installed the fake antivirus.
Oh,
yeah.
And the second time he did it, I was like, I'm done, Dad. I'm done. Like, I told you to buy a Mac. You refused. If you're going to insist on doing this, I'm not helping you anymore. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, I live in another state now. I'm not doing it. You could have bought a Mac and we would have been fine, but you insisted on not. So
you are cold. Fine. You
this
are.
This is after 30 years of dealing with him, Leo. Like, 30 years of this. At a certain point, I have to be done with it. And my mom
he
even agrees.
He changed
like,
your diapers, young lady. He
I
put up
know.
With you putting peanut put butter in a CD player.
He did put up with a lot, but, you know, like, I've dealt with enough. My mom was even on my side. My mom was like, I bought the Mac. My mom's like, I was good.
I did what
I
you said.
Yeah.
I bought my mom an iPhone 6 Plus. She loves it.
My mom bought one, too.
She loves She's 83.
Oh, but she does, loves but the screen's
it.
Great.
She wants that big screen. She had a Note 3. I gave her a Note 3. And I said, but you know what? You should have this iPhone now because it's time. And she has an iPad. She loves it. And I don't
My parents love their iPhones and their iPads.
Yeah,
at
and
this
I don't have
point,
to
that's
worry about her installing a third-party antivirus on her system. I got this thing called Malware Bite Me. I hear it's good. I don't have to worry about that. What do you think of the new slogan, Android? Be together, not the same.
What does that even mean?
Exactly.
I'm serious. That means nothing.
It does mean nothing. And like how they're saying two things at once. They're saying be together, not the same. And then at the same time, they're showing off the fact that everybody has an Android. So it's like to me.
We're
like
together, but there are many together. Choices.
Now, if you want to get like really philosophical about this, you know, they make this one brand new skin version of Android that most people will never see.
Right.
Because Samsung and Motorola and all these people are going to go in and just strip it out. And all those great design, you know, they spend forever doing that. It's just going to be ruined. And so unless you get a Nexus or a Motorola, you're not going to see it anyway.
We should let's watch this ad because this is
a great ad.
This is clearly Google's attempt to do think different, right?
They love tugging at your heartstrings.
Oh, they're so trying to do think different.
Remember back in school when you either invited the new kid over to your table or you didn't? If you did, that was a cool move.
Oh, this is going to make me
That was
cry.
An and move.
Yeah.
And moves take guts.
Yeah.
But they can mean everything.
Yeah.
Their and move is to put wings on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Now,
we should Mystery Science Theater.
When enough people have an and view, the world changes. Forever.
You know, totally their thing different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it totally
We're
is,
We're only
yeah.
here because of an and moment.
They even got Martin Luther
Opening
King
yourself up isn't easy.
That's...
When you do, it's hard to forget. Because it leads to something new.
Oh, there's that
Something
car.
Better.
There's their autonomous.
That's why we need this.
I don't know why they have the ALS
and
challenge,
this.
But they did.
And them. And you. Yeah, you. Watching this right now. Because everyone doing the same thing won't
what?
Move us
They're
forward.
Watching me right now?
Yeah, everyone doing their own thing.
Oh, yeah, it's Google. That's right.
Together. Can.
I still don't know what
I
that
don't,
means.
I don't know what it means.
No. Be together,
that's,
not the same.
That's more vague than the first call
It's an attempt to throw some apple burn. So they're trying
is
to...
Is it?
Everybody's
it's
all
Is it shade? Shade? Are they throwing some shade?
A little bit. It's calling shade. It's not burn. They're
it's
throwing
not
some
shade. They're throwing some shade at Apple.
They are.
Saying, we're not all the same, but...
We're not sheep, but we are sheep.
But we're sheepish. We're...
Right.
You can't explain it.
We're not sheep, we're robots.
Oh, much better. Much better. Well, who would you rather fight, 1,000 robotic sheep or 1,000 sheeps with rope?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So the real problem is it's like, and you, and you, and you, and Royd?
Right.
Not a fan.
Is that the slogan?
Yeah.
No, that's what the text that came
up. You, and you, and Royd.
Who's Royd?
Who's Roy?
Yeah, that
sounds like hemorrhoids. That's not good.
It does. I hear Royd. I think Royd Rage. I think hemorrhoids.
Yeah,
I don't think Android.
Okay, that was a mistake. All right. Well, I'm still going to buy one. I don't care. I don't care if they have a crappy ad campaign. I like them for that. because it means they're not too slick. They're not
usually
too
their
polished.
Ads are good though. The Chrome ads are awesome.
Yeah,
their Chrome ads are great. Yeah. You know, like that Dear Sophie ad still like is one of those like, and I know it's so cloying and it's so manipulative, but it worked.
It does work.
You know, it does work.
It tugs at your heartstrings.
It does. It does. They totally know how to do it, and it's creepy, but yet you don't think it's creepy until like way after you think about it. Right. Going, huh?
Huh. Mm. But this is, I think, the first time they've ever advertised Android.
I mean,
everybody else has done Droid and all that.
I mean, they've advertised Nexus stuff a bunch.
Yes.
But there's been...
Like
there's
just Android, though?
I can't remember. But like the Nexus 7 important. With the kid in the treehouse with his dad whatever?
Yeah.
That was very touching.
Was that that was for the Nexus.
See, the reason it's important to say Android is because that's not just Google products. This is establishing a category. Google. One of the things Google's done lately is... kind of tighten the grip on Android.
Yeah.
Android Wear watches all have to have the same essential software. There's no TouchWiz on these watches. Mm-hmm. They've been tightening the grip a little bit. And I think that is part of the process of saying, and there is a we're different, but there's a unified Android brand. And so if you want choice, I think they have to really address the privacy thing, though, frankly. That's where Apple's finding the soft spot on Google, and they're hammering it.
And it's such a subtle, without saying Google, which is even
better.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can tell exactly what they're talking about when Tim Cook came out with that big privacy statement a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I've
been saying this for at least a year, that that's what Apple should double down on, because that's what differentiates them from everybody else. And Google doesn't really have a good response to that, do they? And
I think Eric Schmidt had like six responses.
Yeah, he twisted it around and he misunderstood what Tim Cook was even talking about.
Well, he quote unquote misunderstood.
Yeah. I think he willfully misunderstood.
Oh, completely. And then, but all of his answers were equally terrible. And right. I mean, he had like six different answers of trying to untwist it, and you're just going, Eric, stop! You're making it worse.
He's the king of foot and mouth. Like
he is. I love that guy. I love him, but I also
as a journalist.
Like,
as a journalist, I love him. Yeah,
we have a
wonder like why they allowed him to speak. You know,
on the Verge, we've got the story stream tool. You know, tag those stories together, and one of our story streams is like I think it's British Eric Schmidt says.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all it is.
yeah, Schmidtisms.
Yeah.
Schmidt happens.
He yelled at me at a conference once.
He did?
How
did he yell at you?
It was at the All Things D Mobile conference, and this was right after...
Were you heckling him?
No, I asked a question, stood up.
What was your question?
I asked him, it was right after Facebook Home launch, so what was that, 2013?
What a crap.
And so I said, you know, if this becomes big, I forget exactly what my question was, but if this becomes big, what do you guys think about this?
I've asked him the same question.
And he just like laid into me. There's got to be a video clip of it somewhere, but he just laid into me and basically told me I asked the question wrong. He was really rude, and I will never forgive him for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's a great somebody made a good gif
off
of
the press.
And there's a great gif of it somewhere of me asking the question, then him going like this right at me. Ooh.
All right, I'm looking for it now.
He's such a bully.
Steve, that's a point of honor though, that you had Eric Schmidt bully you.
And then it was on
And you had Ballmer bully you. So I've got some big shots here.
Actually, the person who really bullied me was John Ledger. He got real mad at me.
Oh, he's bullied me too.
Of T-Mobile.
He loves me.
Oh man,
I know.
He and I have a hot and
he's
cold.
He's
kind
of like your creepy uncle. I don't know if you want him to love you.
Let's text him right now. There's the GIF. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Here's one. There's two actually. Here's you look a little goofy.
Yeah.
What are you stupid?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's going on with you? All right. Here's another one. We get your choice here.
There are two GIFs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's on Imgur. Awesome.
Oh,
nice. You hit the big time.
Oh, wow.
485 views.
Yeah.
You are big now.
Nice. My oversized shirt going like this. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. We're going to take back. Actually, you take a break. You did a great, Business Insider did a great article on Mark Gurman. I thought that was great. And 9 to 5 Mac.
Oh, Seth, the whole 9 to 5 Mac.
It was about Seth Weintraub and the whole story about 9 to 5 Mac.
Yeah.
I loved that.
It was a great story. Yeah, my colleague Dave wrote that.
I kind of know pieces of it, but I didn't know really the story behind that.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I mean, I'm sure you've met Seth before or, you know, talked to him at least.
I don't think so.
He's a really cool guy.
He was stuck in Paris. His wife got a job there. He was an IT guy. And he said, I don't have anything to do, so I'm going to start an Apple blog.
Yeah.
It was a business blog at the time,
pretty much,
which was kind of misguided, but that's okay. And now he's got 9 to 5 Mac has done very well, but he doesn't pay anybody. He gives them a cut of the ad.
Yes. Yeah. There's no salary, but those guys do well. And they're mostly young kids. I mean, Mark Gurman, he's not even 21.
He's in college.
Yeah, then most of them are in high school or early college, and they get a cut of the ad. And it's a great gig if you're, you know.
So they're happy.
Yeah. And frankly, that's how they get the scoops.
So they're, yeah, I mean, Mark Gurman is amazing.
No, they get the, but they get the scoops because there's plausible deniability from the people who are leaking to them. And there's not any of the career, like, pressure that you're going to be pissing off the wrong person and committing career suicide when you're 20 years old.
Because they don't care.
Like, well, right, because it's a very different thing. I mean, like, Mark can write things and can do things that, you know, like, some of us might not be able to do just because we have, like, livelihood.
That's his that's a mistake on his part, because he is, in fact, exactly like you guys.
Yeah,
he's young enough now.
He doesn't know it, that's all.
Well, right, but what I'm saying, though, he knows it, but he's, you know, but I mean, you know, they will never invite him to an event, ever.
Right.
And that's okay, but, you know, you can get away with a lot more, right.
I wonder what it's like not to be invited to an Apple event. I wonder what that would be.
Ask me.
I haven't been invited since 2010. Facebook, good on you. They rebuked the Drug Enforcement Administration. Remember, the DEA, Department of Justice, defending them, set up a fake Facebook page for a woman they had arrested for a minor drug offense, trying to lure other drug dealers in. And they were they put pictures of her niece and nephew. I mean, they were horrible.
That's messed up.
Facebook has said that not only is that a violation of our terms of service, but yeah, they said basically that's messed up.
Yeah,
yeah.
And as they should have.
When Facebook says it's messed up,
then you know.
Yeah,
on a privacy issue.
When the people that like perform like you know emotional you know experiments right. on its users for the
if
timeline
they say
are like,
it's messed
okay,
up.
You guys, this is too far.
Yeah.
Like, you know it's too far.
Facebook has long made it clear that law enforcement authorities are subject to our policies. We regard the DEA's conduct to be a knowing and serious breach of Facebook's terms of service. And the account has been disabled. That's all they can do. You are never going to be on Facebook again, buddy boy. Facebook asked the DEA immediately confirm it has ceased all activities on Facebook that involve the impersonation of others. This is the big concern. We know about this one. Well, yeah. If they did this once, what's to say they're not doing it all the time? Right. Right?
Oh, totally.
It's definitely. And not just the DEA either.
FBI, no, I mean.
Whatever.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The sheriff down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Petaluma Police Department.
Well, that has
happened.
A lot of local police departments have been doing similar stuff
Absolutely.
On Facebook.
They
yeah.
do these stings trying to find child predators. They've been doing this
for years.
Or even
try to bust like a kegger or something.
Right.
That's happened too.
There's a guy who specializes in the Petaluma Police Department in doing that. That's
really?
His job.
To troll Facebook?
Not Facebook, but to troll, look for. And that's why Petaluma was the home of that, what was that reprehensible NBC show? To Catch a Predator. Yeah.
Oh, really? That was based here?
One of the big busts was here. In fact, I was on a jury trial of a kid who got arrested. And the judge, unfortunately, I had to sit through 2 weeks of testimony. And then the judge threw it out saying, that's entrapment.
Well, kind of is.
It was very interesting. That was a couple of years ago. Anyway, nice article on 9to5 Mac. Really enjoyed that. I like seeing
it's a great
that
behind story behind the story. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, everyone reads it. They're crushing it. They're breaking a lot of news on that site.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see how it came together.
I am embarrassed how often we quote Mark Gurman on our Mac Break.
He should be. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's a really good reporter.
He's fantastic.
Yep.
He's a fantastic reporter.
Yeah,
and
he's
nice
been
kid.
On TNT. He's a very nice kid on TN2, as you have Christina and as you have Dieter. And yeah. I think you maybe...
I've been on a bunch of stuff.
You're on all of our stuff. You guys, you're overexposed.
Nah,
no.
Never.
We love you. That's why you're here. We're going to take a break. We'll have more with Dieter Bohn of The Verge, Steve Kovac of Business Insider from Mashable, Christina Warren, our show today. Actually, before we do the Squarespace ad, you know what? We had a great week. I think Christina may even be on some of this video. This is some of the stuff you missed if you missed anything on Twit this week.
Previously on Twit.
Smoking solder, I'm ready. Do it to me.
Yeah, da 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 da. Maybe there's going to be some big neck news.
Twit Live specials.
How do you make it better?
Improve the camera.
No.
Lower the price so it's affordable for more people?
I don't think so.
I think he's walking us towards make it thinner, but that can't be it.
Oh. Yes!
Can you even see it?
No.
Security Now.
It was Dropbox hacked. People were downloading some several hundreds of login credentials and logging in successfully to other people's Dropbox accounts. It's the internet of other people's things.
This week in Google.
The Lollipop League.
Oh, yeah.
They also announced a Nexus TV device.
We haven't talked about HDMIs.
You got to get an AV receiver. It's a spousal confusion device.
TWiT. Thousands of hours of high-quality dribble.
The tablet will be available for pre-order on See You Later, Goodbye, October 17th.
That's, I'm preparing because I'm going to be doing... Bye. I'm going to be doing tech news today next week. Did Mike's now out. In Jordan. Did he?
Oh, I saw him tweet a picture.
Did he leave something the week ahead? Let's take a look here.
Coming up this week, Apple and IBM report earnings on Monday, October 20th.
Write that down.
Also on Monday, Microsoft is holding a cloud event in San Francisco.
I'm going to write that down.
Apple and Verizon report earnings on Tuesday, October 21st. And Microsoft and Amazon have earnings calls scheduled for Thursday, October 23rd.
I don't have to listen to those.
Back to you, Leo.
Thank you, Mike. Mike is in Jordan for his son's wedding. His son, there was one wedding here, and now his son's father, new father-in-law, is an imam in the church. So they're going to do a Jordanian Muslim wedding, and I think he has to kill a goat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they cook it, and they serve it, and it's like wild. Anyway.
That sounds awesome, actually.
I know. Isn't that interesting?
That's how
so I'm sure, keep watching Mike's feed. I'm sure he'll feed us
pictures.
He
tweeted some good food pictures earlier.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Anyway, I'll be filling in. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm actually nervous. TNT Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. And then Sarah will do Thursday and Friday. And she'll do a much better job. She has practice. Our show today brought to you by Squarespace. I know these guys. I love these guys. It's the best hosting ever. But because it's hosting plus the content management system on top of it, it's just a beautiful, elegant way to host your next website. Whether you want to do e-commerce, they have e-commerce built into all their templates and really nice. The e-commerce system, they have the merchant card for you if you need it. They have shipping calculators. They actually have fulfillment. They have all the stuff you need to do your own e-commerce. Every site is, but you don't have to. It could be for a photographer. Amazing portfolio templates. And they even have a portfolio app for the iPad, which is awesome. We'll pull the pictures from your website so you can show it to clients. They've got great apps, the blog app, the media metrics app. This is all free as part of your Squarespace subscription. You'll start with 25 gorgeous templates, and the all-new Squarespace 7 means you're going to get the state-of-the-art mobile responsive design. You're going to get everything that's modern on the web without having to know any HTML or JavaScript. Now, by the way, if you are a developer, their developer platform is second to none. You can actually do amazing things with Squarespace. The point is you don't have to. It's so easy to use. They do have live chat and email support 24/7 from their offices in New York. A wonderful customer help portal that includes self-help articles, forum, video workshops. So there's lots of places you can learn, get better. Your Squarespace site will just get better and better and better. And the ability to accept donations on every template as well, so these are great for nonprofits, cash wedding registries, school fund drives. $8 a month. That includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. For the commerce, $24, and you get so much out of this. And they don't take a cut. So you're going to make money, and you're going to get a great-looking site. All the hosting, all the software. But best of all, you can try it right now. Just click that Get Started button. You don't need to give them a credit card or any information. Just play with it. You can import all your existing content using their importers. They support most of the blog APIs. One thing I ask when you sign up, use the offer code TWIT, and that way you'll get 10% off. You don't need it for the trial, but if you decide to buy, 10% off when you use our offer code TWIT at squarespace.com. We love the clan there. Ireland's phasing out. This is, I guess, a lot of pressure from the European Union. This is why Google and Apple and others store their money, in effect, in Ireland. They have this double Irish tax break used often with tax havens like Luxembourg or the Canary Islands to hide profits. These companies funnel profits over there. Dublin, for instance, has the largest Google headquarters outside the United States, 2,500 people. The subsidiary generates revenue, mostly from online advertising, pays it in royalties to a separate Google unit registered in Ireland but resident in Bermuda for tax purposes.
I just love that sentence.
It's why all these companies have Apple, Google, Microsoft all have offshore money. They can't really – they have
Stalker.
To
buy –
Well, if they bring it back, it gets taxed.
They get taxed. Right, yeah. So they have to buy European – that's why you buy stuff outside the United States because it's got to use the money somehow. Anyway, Google hasn't said anything, but apparently European Union has put a lot of pressure on Ireland, and then they're now really basically going to phase that out. I bet you the United States has something to do with that as well. A little tip, we have mentioned before that the Samsung 840 EVO, the EVO hard drives are great hard drives, but something weird happens with them. They slow down over time. My friend Alan Malventano, who writes for PC Perspective and is our SSD guru, says there is now a tool available from Samsung for these drives that will fix this problem. So if you've purchased an 840 EVO SSD, get this tool. It's free for download. And the new, it'll be in the firmware, I'm sure, in new SSDs from Samsung. In fact, the 850, don't buy the 840 because the 850 is due out any minute now. And Alan says it's a killer. Good news on that. Let's see what else. I just want to wrap it up with a couple of the last little bits here.
Oh, can we laugh at Google quick for selling the Nexus player?
The Nexus player. Oh, mentioned the Nexus 9, the Nexus 6.
The hockey puck. The real hockey puck.
It was delayed because the FCC approval hadn't happened, but it has now, so you can pre-order it.
Yeah, but they put it up for sale without FCC approval.
Well, that's a little mistake.
Well, that's kind of a little...
Mistake. Okay.
If you're selling electronics, maybe you want to make sure one thing before the other thing.
They got the approval fast.
But beyond that, why are they making this? Why did they keep
Fire
trying
TV.
This again?
They try and they fail.
Yeah, but this is them. They're not ambitious here. This is just basically a Fire TV. They just not trying to take over the world. We're not trying to take over every TV. We're just saying screw it.
It's remarkably like the Fire TV. $99. It comes with
even similar.
It's identical, almost.
It comes with a remote you can talk to, right?
You
can
talk into it, yep. The game controller.
For an additional...
The remote looks almost the same. It's kind of scary how much the remote looks alike.
And then you can buy a gaming controller for, like, what is it, 40 extra bucks?
Something like that.
Yep, same price as Fire TV remote.
It's exactly
like Fire TV.
Yeah. By the way, they're out of stock already.
Oh, man.
So somebody wanted it.
I mean, it supports Google Cast, so you can... Instead of getting a Chromecast, you can get this.
If you wanted a Chromecast or you have a Chromecast and you use that, which I do all the time.
Chromecast is so great.
This adds Chromecast capability to the TV as well. I love Chromecast.
Just buy a Chromecast. That's my answer.
Yeah.
Why buy this?
There's an app for Fire TV that'll actually add Chromecast support too.
Oh, really? Huh. Is that AllCast? Is that
Kosh's? It's AllCast, I think it is. Yeah,
Kosh's AllCast,
good.
Yeah. I use AllCast.
And,
like crazy.
I use that. And I've hacked my Fire TV. Like, I've got XBMC and Plex running on it. So
what?
Yeah, you can actually remarkably. It's very easy to hack and mod. I've got like an external hard drive connected to it. I've got Plex. Whoa. I've got XBMC on it. I've got all kinds of little front ends. It's probably the best XBMC box I've had in quite some time.
This is because I have a Fire TV unopened.
Right. I know. Well, that's
on my shelf.
It's basically a Roku, but then when you add the other stuff with it, it's like an awesome $100. It's like everything that Ouya was supposed to be, but then like failed miserably at.
Right.
So this, I mean, I got to say that the Nexus box is probably a pretty good, you know, Nexus or XBMC Plex, or what is XBMC called now? It's a Kodo or something.
Yeah.
It starts with a K. Yeah. Anyway, whatever, that and Plex, like you probably has a pretty good front end for that. So, you know, I think most people probably just buy Roku.
K-O-D-I.
Yeah, Kodi. But I mean, you know. Why not?
This is a quad core 1.8 gigahertz Atom. It's pretty fast. It's faster probably than the Apple TV, I would bet.
Definitely.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah.
Giga RAM, that's enough. 8 gigs of storage. Well, you know, that's not enough. But maybe you can hack this too. It's got a USB. Does it have? Yeah, it has a USB connector.
Yeah, it's probably out of the box, not supported for external stuff, but there's
how much did you have to do to get your Fire? Where tell us all about that. That's good.
Oh yeah, no, it was really simple. In fact, actually what's cool about it is that you can enable developer mode and do SSH over Wi-Fi, so you don't even have to connect it to the computer to send APKs over, and then you just load in a few files and a few root commands so that you can connect an external hard drive to it and do some other stuff, and then I can literally just fling stuff from my computer to the box. I don't even have to connect it. And then once I had it set up, like I just had a small little portable, you know, USB hard drive that I had connected. But you could even use like a thumb drive, actually. I mean, that'd be great. And I mean, I should write it up, actually. That's probably something I should write up for Mashable. It's how to, you know, hack your Fire TV, because it took me, you know, only a couple hours in an afternoon to completely trick it out.
Geohot did this. This is another fine Geohot production. This guy's great.
Absolutely. Oh, he's the best.
You can find the step-by-step on XDA developers, of course.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you could put SSH. I didn't know you could do that. So you root it?
Yeah, it's super simple. You root it. I mean, the thing is, you don't even really have to root it. You like enable developer mode and the enable advanced settings, like in the settings on the Fire TV. That's all you really have to do.
Wow.
And then you can connect over. You can connect remotely over Wi-Fi.
It's very similar to the rooting Android process.
Exactly. It's very similar. And and then once you've got it done, I mean, it's done, and you can still get the official Amazon firmware updates, which is the nice thing because I do like their front end.
Oh, you put BusyBox on there, SSH Daemon. Yep. Oh, yeah, you're all set. This is it. Awesome. Very nice. Yeah, until Christina writes it up on Mashable, XDA has it.
XDA, obviously. Yeah, they're awesome.
Anything else you guys want to talk about? There's a new tool. Facebook has a tool that lets you say I'm okay.
That would have been great during the earthquake
absolutely.
A couple months ago.
Absolutely.
That's a great.
I declined to put a Facebook status that I'm all right.
Oh, I had so many people texting and calling me.
Because you're an East Coast.
Yeah, and they're like, what's going on?
They thought the whole city has fallen into a hole.
I slept through it.
Yeah.
I had a rough night the night before.
This is called Safety Check. So the idea is the way they've implemented it is quite clever. If you have a Facebook app on your phone, it knows your location. If it says, hey, wait a minute, there was a big earthquake in that area, it will then pop up a message on your phone saying.
It pushes it right out to you, right?
Yeah, it pushes it to
you.
It
says, do you want to alert your friends?
Are you okay? You can push, I'm safe or I'm not in the area. And then I guess it will do it in a status update. I'm not sure, but it will let your friends and family know. It will also allow you to mark your friends as safe. So you can say, hey, no, everybody here is okay. I think that is actually a good use of Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Safety check.
So there's no answer for no?
Are you safe? I'm safe or I'm not in the area.
If you're not safe, I imagine you've got better. You probably aren't responding. Yeah.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, they need something like, I'm okay, but I don't have a leg or something.
Yeah, I'm okay. Right. I'm in the hospital. Send flowers.
Or at least a link to like contact authorities.
Right.
You know?
Actually, we shouldn't make
it. But that could be interesting. I mean, think about it. Like, if you maybe, like, Facebook pushes something to you, maybe you're in a position where you can't reach out. Maybe Facebook would be able to, like, send, if you authorize it, of course, send stuff out to, you know, first responders and whatnot and say, hey, we know that this person or these people in this location are in need of some assistance.
Actually, I shouldn't be so flippant about this because this is, I think, the 25th anniversary of the great earthquake of 1989.
Yeah. That happened during the World Series, didn't it?
Yeah, I was there. I was at Candlestick Park when that happened. But there were some other people in our business who were not in such a safe place. John Anderson and Derek Von Alstein, who were writers for MacUser Magazine, were caught in the earthquake. A brick wall tumbled on them and both were killed. And it's probably good for us to mention that. It was 25 years ago, October 17th, that happened.
And they had not a memorial, but something this week for it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Fred Davis, who was the editor of MacUser at the time, posted on Facebook. That was what alerted me to it. John was a great guy. They were really fun, exciting, young guys, kind of your age, getting into the business. And it was a great tragedy. And not a whole lot of people died in that earthquake, but those are two who we really will miss. So that's 25 years ago today. And now you could just say on Facebook, I'm okay. We didn't have it then. Hey, on that bright and chipper note, I'm going to wrap. And anything else? Did I leave anything out you guys wanted to talk about?
I kind of want to loop back to iPads for a second because tomorrow Apple's reporting earnings and we get to see how the iPad business is doing. And it's been kind of slumping. And,
It's been two quarters now. Yeah. Down for two quarters. Will it be down for a third? I bet you it will.
I bet it will be.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the 6 Plus will continue that trend.
It's good.
Right?
Why
do you need an iPad for?
Exactly.
I think the 6 Plus will, but I think that the iPad Air 2 is a good enough upgrade that a lot of people who have iPad 2s will probably be saying, you know, with the Touch ID, the faster stuff, the better camera, the thinner body, the, you know, glare resistant screen. I've had this iPad 2 for 3 years now. I might as well go ahead and upgrade. So they might end up getting a good upgrade cycle. But I think that, I think we'd all of us had underestimated. We all first didn't think the iPad would be as successful as it was. I was bullish on it, but I wasn't expecting it to be what it was. And then I think we all overestimated how frequently people would update these things.
Right.
So
what do you think the cycle is? 3 years, 4 years?
At least three.
I think it's probably two. Two and a half, three.
Yeah. It's an expensive thing. People don't have an unlimited budget to buy phones and tablets and computers.
Right.
And I think the iPad 3 is good enough. If you have a Retina, anything, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Touch ID is not going to push you in. Thinner is not going to push you in. A faster processor is not going to push you in. So
a lot
it's
of people
without Retina. It's anybody who doesn't have Retina yet probably should look. And you probably shouldn't get a Mini.
No.
No.
Well, you can get last year's Mini.
Get last year's Mini.
Last year's Mini, you can get a great price. But it's interesting that they're still selling the Mini from 2 years ago, because at this point, it's the same guts as the iPad 2. And my friend Alan Pike wrote a really interesting blog post about developers, basically kind of saying that, like, developers now are basically going to be expected to support, you know, the iPad 2 at least through 2017.
Yeah.
And that's kind of putting them in a weird position when it comes to games and some other things, because the hardware just isn't keeping up. But I think until it gets to the point where, you know, the iPad 1 reached it really early because it only had 256 megs of RAM and it's, you know, it's a first gen product. Until it gets to the point that it's really slow for people, you know, most people who have an iPad, you know, they use it for web browsing, you use it for games, you use it for Facebook. You kind of don't need to upgrade. You know, it's nice to have the better screen. It's nice to have maybe the Touch ID or the other stuff. But like for a lot of people, it does exactly what they need it to do. And it's not significantly slower or worse than it was before. Right. So until it gets to that point where it's really just kind of, you know, crawling, which happens with the phones, you know, a lot of people aren't going to need to have that itch, you know, to upgrade to a
new
tablet.
There's still a lot of iPad 2s up there.
My mom still uses theirs. They only stopped
selling them 6 months ago.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. And the guts are the same on the iPad Mini, which they're still going to sell.
They're keeping it alive,
They're keeping it alive. I mean, and they've sold a ton of those to education. Right. And so, I mean, I think that you're probably right. It's probably one of those things where, you know, three, 4 years as an upgrade cycle, which is, you know, 2.5 times as long as maybe a phone cycle.
Right.
And, yeah, so I mean, I think that's probably why the business is slowing primarily. People just don't need to replace them as frequently. Yeah.
Big week. You should watch TNT all week long because it's going to be a big week for quarterly results. I noticed, Steve Kovac, you not carrying your iPhone 6 in a case.
No, I think
it's too beautiful.
It's too pretty. It slides into my pocket.
You have a case?
I took the case off my phone yesterday. I went and bought AppleCare, and I was like, now I can.
I love it. It's so pretty.
The silicone case. Yeah. It's too. I can't put it in my pocket.
It makes it sticky.
This thing is so pretty. Why would you want to cover it up?
It is so pretty.
So just get more. Buy more.
Yeah.
How about you, Christina? Did you put yours in a case?
I got the gold one. I want to show off the fact that I bought the phone.
Look, if I paid
for the Kardashian phone and I've got the AppleCare,
I don't care. I don't have mine.
Mine's already scratched up, too.
Oh, that's all right. That's
there are
just
little
part
scratches
of life.
Up here. Yeah.
Tell me that I'm going to put it back in the case now.
You know what I like that they're doing now is the kind of the melting the glass around the edge so it's soft.
I love that.
Makes you want. It's like a worry stone. You want to rub it more. Thank you, everybody. We have had a good time. And thank you, Christina Warren, for once again coming in here and being a part of our. We just love you. We think you're the greatest. She's at Mashable.com.
I love you guys, so thank you.
At film_girl if you still use Twitter.
I don't know why.
But I noticed both Steve and Dieter have got Twitter fired up. You've got TweetDeck going.
I always do.
You guys. Get off of that thing. It's just poisoning your mind. Steve Kovac is senior editor at Business Insider. Great to have you. You're going back when to New York?
Saturday.
Damn. Why didn't we have him in all the time while he was in San Francisco? Dang.
I'll be back.
Please come back. Dieter Bohn, you come back too.
I will.
Dieter does go back to New York after the Apple event, but he's at the Verge executive editor there. Thank you for stopping by. I feel like the old man here with all you youngsters. I'm dad. You're on you youngsters. Yeah. We do a Twit every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC on twit.tv. We'd love it if you watch live. The chat room is always a lot of fun. Or you could be here in our studio live. Just email tickets at twit.tv. It's free, but we want to know how many are coming so we can put a seat out for you. But as you can see, we overdid it, so there's always a few extra seats. If you're in the area, stop by. And, of course, if you can't be here live, let's not forget the best of. Chad's giving me a little hint on the video. We are getting ready for our holiday edition of Twit, and as with many of the shows on our network, we like to do a best of. So if there was a moment you particularly enjoyed this year, to the best of your memory, put in the information at twit.tv/best of. If you don't know the time code or the episode number, that's all right. Whatever information you can give us, that'd be very helpful. And it's for all of our, not all, but most of our shows are doing best of, but, you know, we'd love to hear from you if there's something you remember.
Remember that thing that Dvorak did with the thing and the thing? That, like that. Just twit.tv/best of. If you haven't, if you can't get the show live or you can't be here in studio, we do make on-demand audio and video available after the fact at the website at twit.tv, but also everywhere you can get podcasts and netcasts, iTunes, Xbox Music, podcasters, Dog Catcher, Instacast. And we have apps, lovely apps written by our very devoted third-party developers. We thank you guys on Android, iOS, Windows Phone, Windows 8, Roku. So if you're on one of those platforms, or many TVs too, just look for Twit. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Another Twit
is in the can.
Doing the Twit.